Bean Broadcast app.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, deed. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. All right. Hey, Teresa Strasser.
Hey, Adam Carolla.
Hey, Danny Bonaducci.
Hi, Adam Carolla. Hi, Adam Carolla. Hi, Teresa Strasser. Phil O'Brien.
No!
What's happening, Danny? How are you feeling?
I feel fine, thank you very much, except for the big idiot that I am. I emailed
that?
Jack and Bob and the whole world. Well, if you read the first words of this medicine I have in my hand, it says for cough. So I stopped reading.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't cough medicine.
Mm.
This is from my throat surgery.
Mm.
Where I couldn't speak for a week and was going to be in a lot of pain. This thing's full of narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
And sleeping medicine and look at the warnings on this. They had to actually add extras on.
And actually put a tab of warning on there.
That's a scroll.
So, but the first words are, the very first words are, take 1 to 2 teaspoons by mouth every 4 hours as needed for cough.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped reading there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also full of painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have a cough. But if you do cough, it'll tear up the stitches in your throat.
Uh-huh. Now, we're talking about yesterday. Danny was in and out of consciousness during the show.
Dude, I was in here. It was one thing, because I'm trying to act as cool as I can, obviously failing, listening on the ride in. But outside, when I'd go to smoke, what's wrong? I'm weaving back and forth. There was something seriously wrong with me, and I was terrified. Plus, as I put in the email to Bob and Jack this morning, my reputation will not stand for such things.
No.
So I went to, I called my doctor. He said, come in right away. What have you taken today? I said, just cough medicine. He said, stop at home and get it and bring it in here.
Mm-hmm.
I called him. My radio goes, don't come in here.
Mm-hmm.
Go to bed. Stay in bed. See how you feel tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
All I have done.
All right. So it was just.
But I actually brought, I said, this may be paranoia, but I have got the bottle with me. You guys, if anybody would care to see it, I brought it in.
No, it makes sense. That's the, you thought it was cough medicine, but
well,
it was really.
Cough.
It is cough
powerful
medicine.
Something.
But they make a powerful.
Elixir.
Prescriptive cough medicine. I actually have the same ENT. And I had an experience where I think I was telling you.
Oh, you have the nose taken out
said,
too?
No, I just had a really sore throat, and I didn't want to miss work. And it says to take a teaspoon, and I just drank it out of the bottle.
Right.
I thought, that's about a teaspoon.
Sure.
And I've never been more high.
Really?
Yeah.
Same stuff, huh?
It has narcotics.
Same stuff that Danny
Mine
took?
Mine was probably not nearly as strong.
No, this is so, because I told him there's no way in the world I can go a week without speaking. I won't make it all day.
Mm-hmm. Right,
I said, there's no other choice but to keep me asleep.
I tried to get a refill, and he said, no dice.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, this is super.
Nice.
It's essentially, I took a big gulp of morphine.
I'm officially intrigued.
Well, here it is right here, buddy.
I'll take a nip, not at this point of the show, but certainly on the ride home.
We should all
nice.
Do it.
We should all do it because you feel good. You feel your limbs feel paralyzed and you feel scared. Like, you know what? I'm a little too high, but still overall good.
Yeah, like when you get to eat too much pot brownie.
Right.
You know what really scared me and out of everything? Because I was really, when I was in here and just was, like Adam said, I hate to admit it kind of in and out. But I'd go outside to smoke my cigarette, and I was having problems walking a straight line to the ashtray, standing still, and there was obviously something wrong with me, and I could not for the life of me
figure it
out. You're
supposed to take it at night so that your body metabolizes it by morning.
This still wouldn't work. This was, I chugged it like it was NyQuil. Like, you'd be fine in the morning.
Now, you took
but
a
I got
hit
a call.
In the morning, but did you take a hit throughout the morning or just
no,
earlier?
Just one.
Just enough.
Really
that was enough.
To be honest.
Wow.
But anyway, I got a call from Dawson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who said, listen, man, if you need to talk to someone,
dude,
I'm here for you.
Wow.
How
which
is
really
that?
Sweet of him,
but
the implication is the whole world thinks you're just wasted, which, of course, I was.
I don't know, though. You see, it didn't seem like booze to me. I didn't know what it was.
It seemed narcotic to me.
Yes.
Well, it was.
I agree. So, you guys have the same ear, nose, and
yeah,
throat
he's
doctor.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's
the
guy you go to if you're a celebrity or if you're
if
singer.
If you go to my
like
MySpace,
that.
There are actually pictures of before and after surgery. I have 14 nodules on my throat. The guy said he'd never seen so many.
He's a good doctor. I went to him once, and I said, I have to be able to speak by Monday. It was Friday. And he basically laughed at me, and he said, what? Give me a challenge. I have people who come in here with no voice, and they have to sing at Dodger Stadium the next night.
What is he? An ass kicker.
What does he do
an
to
ass
him?
Kicker.
If, What is the procedure? Oh, steroids.
Everything.
Would that be the number one thing? Like, if you had to sing that night and you had no voice.
Well, that's if he's not doing surgery. He's having surgery. You're not singing that night.
Right.
He told me I couldn't speak for 10 days. I said, I have seven. And he said, you're rolling the dice here.
In the case of Celine Dion or someone, mm-hmm. and I don't know if he treats her, but he treats a lot of famous singers.
A lot.
He throws everything at you.
Really?
Everything.
It's weird. I don't know. I complain a lot. I guess I should give thanks on occasion. Hmm. I've talked my ass off for the last 20 years of not nary a sore throat.
Unbelievable.
Never had a problem. And I've done a lot of, like, yelling, and I've done a lot of...
You?
Yeah, I know, hard to imagine. I've done bits where I do the Mr. Burcham voice in, like, Buzz Lightyear's Commander and stuff, and you do 25 takes. Like, Buzz, get in here! You know, and then you just do it. All right, do it again. Buzz, in here now! And I've really felt that I've strained my voice. I could feel it later in the day. It was like how you feel after doing 50 push-ups. You know, you kind of feel it in your back. Never had a problem. Never dropped out.
Do you eat a long time before you go to sleep?
Do I eat? No. I mean, here's what I do. I was talking, it's the same conversation I have with everyone, although I spoke to a friend of mine from the San Fernando Valley who's my age, and we're having a laugh about, every kid, you know, it's like this. Okay, here's what I want to say. Bigger picture, and we'll get back to me. My son, somebody pointed out to me that my son, who's now a year and a half old, looks totally normal, although a year ago it was nonstop helmet talk, cranium helmet talk. And here's the dilemma. Let me hear a shot of him. Come on.
Elmo doesn't wear a helmet.
Elmo doesn't wear a helmet. So I, I don't know where we're at. I say this all the time. We're rich and we're white and we're industrialized and we don't have problems over here. And thus, everyone's going to need braces and everyone's going to need a helmet and everyone's going to need
the cruel
everything. I mean, our society. Okay. Our society doesn't have any real problems, as I say, thus we have peanut allergies. We don't have any real problems, so we have to put warning stickers on everything. We don't have any real problems, so we have to put speed bumps in roads that don't require them. You know, think about just the concept of the speed bump. I'm sure we pioneered the speed bump in this country. They don't have speed bumps in Africa. They have dirt roads. We have roads that work so well and cars that go so fast that we actually have to put lumps in the roads that we built. We have to actually go back and F up the stuff we've built to slow it down.
Do you know what they call them in the Caribbean?
Yaks that have died in the road.
Sleeping policemen.
That's right.
That's what they're called, sleeping policemen.
I like that. But they're literally cops who fell falling asleep after drinking too much DayQuil. So... We have to humble and hobble ourselves in this country. We're too far advanced. Now, here's the deal. Is there going to be a kid born to a family that can afford it that's not going to have a little asymmetry as far as their skull goes? What percentage of 6 month or 4 month, your 4 month olds on this planet don't have a little bit of an asymmetrical skull?
Right.
Answer, 80%. Now what's the answer to who gets the corrective helmet? The 1% that can afford it. The other just go on and become us. Who cares? We're all shaped a little differently. Who do you know that technically couldn't require braces? If you said to a rich Beverly Hills orthodontist, put a flashlight in this kid's mouth, poke around with the mirror, and you find me someone who technically does not need, where you would just look at him and go, there's no way, shape, or form, even if they were free and I could put them on with the blink of an eye, would not do it.
Right.
Answer, one out of every 2,000 kids you bring in there. So thus, we all need braces now. See, I'm not buying into that. We need. But here's the deal. People have money. People are worried. And then people go talk to specialists. Now, those specialists make their money through selling you these helmets, and the insurance pays for it, and who cares? And, of course, they want to sell it to you because it's literally $3,000 worth of bike helmet. It's a $29 helmet. It's a $15 helmet at Target that's $3,000. It costs the price, you know, it's the price of a used car, except for it's 15 cents worth of plastic. And there's a whole bunch of people that make money along the way. So what do? Well, the wife goes in and she talks to the specialist. And then the wife comes back and talks to the husband. And the husband's busy because the husband works a lot. Thus, there's where the money comes in. And she says, guess what the specialist, guess what the expert, the cranial expert, the infant cranial expert says what? Well, he says Junior needs a helmet. Now, who are you to argue with the guy with 75 years of college under his belt when you've been swinging a hammer making your money? But my spidey sense always tingles. And then you look at the kid and you go, it looks fine to me. I mean, yeah, I can see his head's not shaped like a globe. But on the other hand, so is every other kid shaped right. That way. And by the way, no kid I ever knew growing up, and here's your best and most powerful instinct, look around. No kid you grew up with had one of those corrective helmets. Now every third kid has one. Joel McHale's kid had one. I'm sure Joel McHale's kid didn't need one. You start asking questions. Oh, yeah, my kid. Why not? Well, what happened in evolution in the last 25 years that people's heads started becoming misshapen?
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
Answer, nothing. Nothing. Somebody invented this helmet and decided we all had to be perfect androids. So they created a helmet, and thus there's a $1 billion industry that follows it. And it's the same with the braces, and it's the same with all the crap. Now, unfortunately, we live in a very litigious society, and everything's a 10. There's no such thing as, there's no threes and fours anymore. There's no doctors that go, you could do it, but you could not do it. Sure, the kid'd be fine, too. No, everything is, I'm an expert, here's what you do. It's a switch. It's not a dimmer switch. It's on and off. It's either the kid needs a helmet, or the kid doesn't need a helmet. Either the kid needs braces, or the kid doesn't need braces. There's no dimmer switch. There's nobody who's just, and by the way, now, and here's the dangerous part, I stop listening to people. So I have a cranial expert saying to me, hey, your kid needs a helmet. And I go, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Here's $10. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Now I'm going to go back and watch internet porn.
Anybody that knows anything I don't, I just agree with. If you just said, well, I swing a hammer and I know how to do a dove joint, so your kid needs an appendectomy. Mm-hmm. I just said, oh, okay, go ahead. Could you do it?
I'm that way, too, normally. But now I realize the experts, the older I get, I start realizing experts are sort of like politicians. When you meet politicians in person, when you shake their hand, when you see that 10,000-yard stare they have, and you realize, first off, how short they are and just how empty they are, you start to realize maybe this whole thing's a scam. Maybe these politicians are just dullards who couldn't work in the private sector. And maybe a lot of these so-called experts are technically experts, but they're experts at making money and experts at scaring people. You see, we scare people in this country. Again, we don't have real problems anymore. So we have asymmetry of the cranium, and we have braces. We have all peanut allergies and all this other crap. It all boils down to genetics. It's just genetics.
That's why I hate my family.
I don't get sick very often, and I've never thrown my voice out before. Genetics. There's no eating before you go to bed, eating after you go to bed. Oh, you can wreck yourself eventually. If you soak yourself in enough booze and enough nicotine and enough fill in the blank, eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually you can ruin yourself. But if you have good genetics, you can push right. You don't need rituals if you have good genetics. You don't need 8 hours sleep. You don't need to work out. You don't need to eat right. You don't need to do anything until you're about 50 if you have real strong genetics. And all the people that want to attribute everything to something else, like, hey, I got a sore throat. Did you get new carpet? Did you get new carpet? Well, I bought 6 months. That's what it is. It's inborn allergies. We're all retarded, superstitious natives over here. And by the way, that kind of retarded thinking, that is the religious for the non-religious people. If you realize it, most of that thinking comes from the super progressive non-God-loving left.
Right.
Their religion is environment. Their religion is what the sun and the ozone and the greenhouse and the indoor allergies and what your carpet is doing to you. That's not the right. The Bible thumpers, you see, the right wing, they have the Bible. They have God. They're not worried about black mold. They have Jesus Christ.
Right.
They have the white mold. Jesus Christ. See, they have the right. They have that. They're not worried about the ozone. They're not worried about the environment. They just have Jesus Christ and their family. The left doesn't have Jesus Christ. If they do, they're usually lying. They have spirituality.
Right.
Their spirituality is a humpback whale. Their spirituality is the planet, and so they focus on a macrobiotic diet, and they focus on getting hemp carpet sewn, and they focus on that's their retarded religion. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just as it's just off. It's neither here nor there. It's not your carpet that's making you sick. I unfortunately have neither. I'm stuck in the middle between the two retarded groups, the one that prays to the God that doesn't exist and the one who worries about the things that carpets are giving off that don't exist. You see, I'm just stuck in the middle with a handful of sane people. That's the way I look at it.
It's kind of rough to feel for you. What you're saying is that you're stuck in the middle well.
Yeah, I'm fine, except for I have to listen about Jesus Christ telling me to retire and black mold attacking the house. You see, that's all I get to do, and I just sit there and go, yeah, okay, so Jesus Christ told you to come out of retirement, then Jesus Christ told you, I have to see the 300-pound athlete explain that Jesus Christ told him to come out of retirement, and then I have to see the crazy mom talking about her peanut allergies and canceling a Southwest flight on the news. So I have to just sit in between those two nut jobs. That's my problem. Sorry, T. Feel like you're taking this one hard.
What is with the Jews?
You cool?
I'm following along.
You dig what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, one's religion is religion, and one religion is science. But
yeah.
Both their religion.
Right, except for it's pseudoscience. Their religion is 53,000 people died of secondhand smoke last year when 4 people died of secondhand smoke last year. They have a pseudoscience, but yes, it's still science.
But you're talking about the serious Christians and the hole in the ozone. We kind of need that. We need the world to come to an end. We need,
It's a very interesting point. All religions,
or we're wrong.
All religions need the world to come to an end.
Right. One religion so they can fix it, and one religion to prove they're right and go up and meet God.
One world is going to be brought to an end by God, and the other's going to be brought to an end by man. But either way, they're both retarded religions that need the world to end. It's a kind of a retarded narcissism is what it is. I always say to all my born-again buddies, you really think it's going to end on your watch? You don't think every one of your retarded brethren who ever walked this planet thought this is the sign?
Here it comes.
Oh, I like when people see the signs. See what's going on in the Middle East? You see what's going on over here? How about the tsunami? That's a sign. How narcissistic do you have to be to think it's going to end on your very tiny little watch on this planet? Well, of course, you'll be in the ground and we'll still be dancing on your grave.
Every year for 17 years, do you see the Middle East? Do you see the wildfires? Yeah, do you see the earthquakes?
Do you see the volcanoes?
This is it, Danny. Here it comes.
We make fun of the...
Every year, we make fun
of the natives that toss people into volcanoes. You explain to an alien both cultures, and they'll let them decide which one's more retarded. Look, but it's the same thing. It's all about the eve of destruction. It's all about the end of man. That's what it is. It's the end of times. And from the left, it comes from a secular. We're destroying the environment. The polar caps are melting, and we're going to flood ourselves. And from the right, it's the same thing. It's just someone else is causing it.
Right. I would just caution against having an equally extreme view, which is that everyone who is sick because they're retarded or weak.
Well, it is.
That's equally extreme, and I would argue equally ridiculous.
I think everyone that is well because they're retarded and weak. I think everybody is basically retarded and weak.
A lot of people are weak, and my back went out, and I have an allergy, but not all people who are sick are weak and retarded.
No. Here's what it is. It's not weak and retarded. It's weak or retarded for me.
Sorry.
It breaks down.
Much better.
Here's how it works. It's a genetic thing or it's a psychological thing. If you get cancer at age 30, it's a genetic thing. People love to go, she had a boyfriend who smoked for a couple of years.
Right.
And while they didn't live together, no, she died at 30 because that's the way her genetics were. Sad, but true. I have friends that this has happened to. It's very tragic. It's a luck of the draw. It's total genetics. It's like your height. It's like your eye color. Speaking of eyes, if you had bad vision, he read at night. He did a lot of night reading. No. He has a problem with his eyes. That's right. How he is. It's hard to argue. Yes, you can be crushed by an I-beam and hurt your back. Sure. Sure, I understand being shot. I understand being injured. But most of the people like to chalk it up to the environment. Now, if you die prematurely, that's a bad gene. Or if your back hurts and it doesn't really hurt, then you got a bad bean.
Right.
Bad
gene. Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Bad gene or bad bean? That's the way. That's the way I'm calling it. All right, let's take ourselves a break. I don't feel like we need to do the rest of the show. I feel like I've summed it all up right there. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Hobo Power. Ooh. Haven't played this in a while. That is a unit of stink measurement. We have BTUs, we have horsepower, we have kilowatts, we have everything under the sun. This is a unit of stink measurement. You tell me your stinky story, I'll assign it a hobo power number. And again, 50 is a cat defecating, a cat that has eaten nothing but blue cheese, defecating on a white hot hibachi. That is 50. 100 is theoretical. No one's ever lived to smell 100.
Yeah.
You should be throwing up by 25.
Right.
In my world, it's like a 10 for a female. There just is no such animal.
Yes,
the
that's
100
right.
on stink power, on hobo power, just doesn't really exist because you die around 90.
Right. 866-901-ADAM. You call in. I'll give you a number next.
Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. And now a word from the suit who could make or break your radio career, program director Jack Silver.
Check the record, peeps! Today, get your stink stories ready! We're doing some hobo power! The Ace Man will whip up some custom stripograms for all the hot gooch out there! And an interview with celebrity chef Rocco Despirito! Whoa! Rocco Despirito! That's the best porn name I've heard since Jacko DeBonero quit making films in the 80s.
Wait. Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I love that restaurant show Rocco used to have on. And by the way, see, Rocco DeSpirito. See, if his name was Adam DeSpirito, people would say, oh, a nice Jewish name. Or they'd go, what kind of name is DeSpirito? You see, this is what's happened to me my whole life. If his name, if Rocco DeSpirito's was named Adam DeSpirito, people would say to him, what kind of name is DeSpirito? If my name was Rocco Carolla, no one would ever say, what kind of name is Carolla? No. Although my whole life I've had stupid people say, what kind of name is Carolla? And I would always say, just say Carolla with gusto. Really? What do you think it is?
If your name was Rocco Carolla, all they'd say to you is, what's the VIG?
Yes.
That's what it sounds
and
like.
Can I get that door for you? And by the way,
make me some juice.
While I'm opening the cab door, please do not smash me in it repeatedly. All right. Where the hell were we? We have an intro. 866-901-ADAM. It's time to play. What are we playing? Hobo Power.
Open a window and light a match.
Easy, grimy gopher guts.
It's time for Hobo Power.
That's disgusting.
The unit of stink measurement.
The smell that's around you.
And all my judgments are final, by the way. Don't argue. It's pathetic. I will deduct points. Yeah, I will do. If you grub, I'll do what my old P.E. coach at Walter Reed Junior High, Mr. Walters, used to do when he sent me to the donkey squad and gave me minus points. Carolla to the donkey squad, 8 minus points. But Mr. Walters, that's 10 minus points. Mr. Walters, my boxers were barely hanging out. That's 12, and back to the corral. I always love that part. I don't think we live in that society anymore where we keep upping the ante. You know, that thing where you go, you're grounded for 2 days. But, Dad, it's 3 days. You want to go for a week? We don't live with that anymore.
Well, in the Breakfast Club, they certainly did.
Yeah, that was 25 years ago.
That was the last of a great era.
We do in the Bonaduce house, except we never back up 1 second of it. You go to your room for 10 minutes, young lady, and then she sits there and, hey! Go for 15 now. And she just sits there, and then we all forget about it because she's not going.
Yeah.
I told you her second words were, I'll call 911. I swear to God, kids today, man. Can't
I know.
Them.
Yeah. You have a 10-minute timeout, Timothy. Oh, well, now you have 12 minutes and no iPod Nano.
I hope Sonny's first words aren't Child Protective Services.
Nah. Calling Uncle Danny will be his first. Joe?
Yes.
Give me your stink.
First, I just want to say I'm a big fan. Been listening to you guys for years.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
All right. back in 2003, I was in Iraq, and we were actually waiting to come home. Mm-hmm. And there was about 600 of us there, all at this one base. And we would actually have to crap in these big metal drums. They were kind of improvised porta-johns.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, you had to dispose of all that stuff. So what we would do is mix in, three or four gallons of diesel, mm-hmm. Light it on fire, and then you'd have to sit there and stir it with a stick for about an hour and a half.
Now, if you don't stir it with the stick, the diesel just burn on top?
It gets too chunky.
Yeah, if you don't stir it, it just burns off the top and you don't get rid of anything important.
That's like a crap brulee. It just gets that crunchy on top.
Yeah. But some people, the skin is the best part, like of a pudding.
Yeah.
That is mine.
Now, was it your gig to, get over the cauldron of Duke and... That was my name in college. Yes, the cauldron of Duke. Yeah,
I paid a guy to take any other duties I would have had doing that.
Yeah, duty. Nothing worse than being on duty.
Oh, come on!
I give Danny an assist on that.
Wait, is that considered
that was a moron assist?
Yeah.
That was nothing can stop.
Like what Danny did there is he didn't step on the rake, but he did lay it out on the lawn,
right.
And then the moron came up.
Would you like to take a walk right over there near the rake? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a detail. It's like the cops, if they have to go to the bathroom, it's a 10-100.
Isn't it latrine duty or something?
Yeah, you know, right.
I was expecting that.
He just said S detail.
It was very accurate.
It's one of our men in uniform.
All right, Joe, it's early, and you've served the country well, so I'll give you a break. But
what is your major malfunction?
Thanks. How hot was the temperature when you had to stir it?
About 105.
105 outside. And how does it work? You wait till the 3 gallons of diesel burns off, and then you stir it and put more diesel in?
You're actually stirring it while it's burning.
Oh, you just got yourself 15 points now, tacked on.
And where
to that.
Exactly were you in Iraq?
Upwind.
We were in Basra.
Okay, in the brown zone.
Joe.
It's early.
Wow.
Joe, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. How do you stir it while it's on fire?
Careful.
We use metal sticks.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Joe. I'm going to give you 15. I'm going to start you with a base of 20. But I'm going to go ahead and tack on 5 because it was over 100 degrees where you were.
Right.
So we'll get you up to 25. I'm going to tack on 15 because it was on fire while you were stirring the Dukes, or we're at 40.
Right.
And then I'm just going to give you 5 for serving the country.
Yeah, military. And not a discount.
Well, it's
like
a lot of movie theaters will take seniors
and veterans
and things like that. I'll tack on 5 if you're doing the Lord's work over there in Crapalusia.
Give them.
Yeah, it gives them 45.
That's a lot of points,
man.
It's
a pretty good score, yeah. I'm patriotic. Feeling generous this morning. Larry?
Chris,
yes, this is Larry.
Give us your hobo power story.
Okay, well, working for a mortuary, we had to pick up a guy that had been dead a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So as we got up to the house, you could actually smell him before we even got to the house.
Now, working for a mortuary, I guess you do that, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, this triggered my buddy's stomach, which, in turn, once we got in the car, the smell of the guy made my buddy get sick to the stomach and throw up. As it hit the windshield, it went right down into the defroster.
No.
Nice.
So every time we got in the car...
By the way, that car has the equivalent of AIDS now.
Yeah.
That is vehicular AIDS. And it's 1984. There's nothing we can do. That car.
Yeah.
I would have torched it that night and hammered
zero.
The insurance. That's
Never
right.
Never going to be the same.
Never going to be the same.
Never.
Vehicular AIDS.
Now, that's right.
Let me ask you for a moment about the body.
Oh, yes, ma'am. As we went to pick him up and put him in the bag, his skin virtually just literally came off in our hands.
Hmm. So old guy, young guy?
He was probably in about his 40s, I think. You know, at the time, I was a teenager, so that was kind of an old guy to hunt.
What do you think he died of? Vehicular AIDS? Greatest laugh I've ever gotten.
No. Yeah.
Just a young guy, just was dead and sitting around in his apartment?
Yeah, at the time, I don't know if I can say this on the air, people that were sick... you know, the hospice kind of people.
Uh-oh.
I got it.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
We are talking about vehicular AIDS.
Yeah.
So we had...
See, now we have the triple cocktail
the
of...
HIV.
Prestone and wiper fluid and tranny oil. Yes, what's that?
I've had some tranny oil. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
So did the guy have the HIV or not?
No.
But he had some sort of long-term illness.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
But then, you know, see, then there was another guy that shot himself. That's a totally different thing.
All right.
There.
So what month was this in?
It was June, July. It was right in the summer months. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hot.
All right, kind of hot. And I don't want to bust your chops, but why was the defroster on during the summer months?
Well, no. I'm saying when he did that, it hit the windshield and went down into the defroster. So after that, every time we turned the defroster on,
it's a small
it reminded us of that moment.
Small deduction if he had the, if he had it cranked up at that point. Skin came off in your hands. And again, like I said, my grandparents are in the Neptune Society, and they just come get you.
Yeah,
I had I had no idea. My grandfather died, and he died at like 4 or 5 in the morning. I got a call, and I went over to grandma's house at like 8 in the morning. I was like, "Where's grandpa? Oh, he's gone. Where is he?
Yeah.
Neptune Society got him. Well, where's he
Go
now?
Right up and
pick him up. He's floating out in the sea. They just backed up the station wagon right at the end of the pier and slid him right off into the ocean.
So if you were to kill somebody, the Neptune Society would be a good way to go.
Oh.
They'd come get you.
Here's what you do. If you want to get rid of somebody, if you want to, you know, collect on someone's insurance, like, honey, I signed us up for the Neptune Society. Pow. You shoot him. 20 minutes later, there's a fat guy there in his mom's station wagon.
With a gaff.
And he just gaffs her right on board.
They cremate him first,
her.
Right?
Yeah. They say they do. You never
know.
Well, we didn't. As I explained, there's cheap and then there's Corolla cheap. We didn't go to the, for an extra, I imagine.
Yes.
The whole event is literally, I mean, I will ask my grandmother what she paid for the Neptune Society.
Right.
This is a while back. It's probably $200 now. You know, your average funeral is probably $8,000. This is literally like $230. And I would imagine when my grandmother was filling out the paperwork, there was some box that said, hey, for an extra $40, we can get a small vessel and you can make your peace as we go off the $40. No, thanks. So they just took my grandpa and that's the last we saw of him.
Now, I wonder if the price has gone up because gas is so expensive and boats are gas burners.
Probably gone up a little. And again, no urn, no headstone.
Right.
No urns, nothing.
Urns are about $250, and I know this.
Well, the word urn is right in there. You have to earn money.
My stepmother's ashes are in a lollipop tin. Dad didn't buy the urn.
All right, so we should go ask Mr. Owl who's cheaper, somebody who keeps the deceased in a lollipop tin or someone who never brings the ashes home at all. They actually just got dumped, and there never was anything, and there was never an event.
Nothing.
Oh, no.
No ceremony.
No, it's like somebody
it.
It's like somebody called up and said, hey, Teresa's dead. And I went, oh, and I went over to Batman's place. And
the two of you cried.
Yes. We cried, and then I said, now what? And he said, that's it.
That's it.
And I said, well, isn't there going
to
be a wake or a funeral or something? We have
something.
To do something, right? We're going to put a plaque up in the park or plant a tree or something? And then he went, that's it. I'm looking for my next girlfriend.
I want you to at least pour some Jamesons like the gangsters do.
I dip one for my homie. We put my dad in a mausoleum or whatever they're called. Put a plaque on the thing that said produced by Joe Bonaducci.
I like that.
Like that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool, too. And then I bought everybody little crosses that they put, for lack of a better term, about a Coke spoon worth of dad in, and then seal it so you wear dad.
Oh, that's sweet.
We all lost ours.
We did the exact same thing except for if you deduct all of it.
It was exactly like that.
Exactly the same when grandpa died.
Necklace.
And 100% of it.
I keep thinking, here's the scary, ominous part about that. He's the one we liked.
How's it going to go?
Oh.
We're feeding
How would I know that?
My grandmother already explained to me what's going to happen to me. Trebuchet. You got to look it up. It's a medieval catapult, but it works on a counterweight instead of a spring.
So you're gonna end up where?
They don't know. They said depends which way the wind's blowing. We're gonna head you toward your old high school. No. It's not unclear whether you'll make the field or not.
You should shoot you through the goalposts.
That's if they're in a good mood. They said they're not leaving the yard. My grandmother is erecting a trebuchet. You have to look it up, but you can launch a refrigerator like a quarter mile with one of those things. It's a counterweighted catapult. It just, and you'll see me now. I'll be tumbling through the air.
Sure, of course.
Well, Larry never got a score, but I'm guessing it would be, I don't know.
I'm going to give him low 30s for that one.
Yeah, the flesh coming off in your hands is interesting, but it didn't have a smell power to it.
TJ?
Morning, Ace.
What's the story?
Okay, I work on crew boats that go out and service the oil rigs. That means every morning we take a load of oil workers out to the oil rigs, and every evening we bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
So these oil workers are, you know, your basic 17-to-300-pound guys who all have
roughnecks. Yeah.
They go out and they use our marine heads on the way out and on the way back.
Yeah.
Now, in theory, we pumped those out, but we didn't, and one of them exploded. Now, it explodes in the engine room where we've got 3 1280 diesels going. It's about 117 degrees and sprays all over the exhaust system.
Oh,
nice.
Wow. This is great. Yeah, I mean, for those of you, it's really heat is the catalyst. You know, you can take vomit, dog poo, whatever you want, and freeze it, and it's all of a sudden dog poo. Here, I mean, you're not going to use it as a popsicle, but you would pick up a piece of frozen dog poo, whereas if it was in Phoenix, you'd never get near it.
Right.
That's the way freezing works. And by the way, sidebar, handed this note out before, that's why things taste better room temperature than they do cold. Everyone takes all their fruit and produce and everything, and they put it in the refrigerator. When you eat an apple and it's freezing cold, it loses its flavor.
I give stuff
a shot in the microwave and bring it back. You're going to eat some strawberries? Don't eat them freezing cold. Give them 22 seconds in the microwave. Bring them back to room temperature.
Ice cream, 10 seconds.
All the flavor comes out when things heat up just a little bit. So, TJ, this spraying onto the exhaust manifold of the diesel engines, did you have to clean it up?
Yes.
All right. Plus, were you at sea when you had to do this?
Yeah, we had to go down there because we had to stop and figure out why we were losing a little bit of power because of the cooling effect on the turbos.
Right. All right. So here's the thing.
Wow.
By the way, you know you're low man on the totem pole when the poo tank blows out, shoots all over the exhaust of the diesel engine, and your name gets called. Yeah, that's how you know. That's how you know there's nobody on that vessel that ranks below you. There are like 3 barnacles that'll be above you. You are technically the lowest guy at sea when the Duke tank blows up and you need to clean it up. As a matter of fact, if you want to know where you're at in any job, knock over something and then see whose name they call.
Huh.
That's how you know where you're at. Walk into the company kitchen, take a nice pot of coffee, and just drop it on the floor. Whoever's name they call out, that's the lowest guy in the totem pole. They don't go and get the CEO, and they don't go by Mr. Jenkins and get him off a conference call with some Asian businessman and go, somebody crapped in the microwave, go clean it up.
Don't get that.
No, that's how you know where you're at. So,
TJ.
That's
why I hear my name so much.
I like the nautical theme.
Yeah.
I like the description of the diesel engines.
Yeah, plus that was nautical hip.
I knew you'd enjoy that.
I like the whole thing, and I'm going to go ahead and give you 41.
41. Thank you.
All right. See, that's what
I
like.
Wow, he's going to complain and change his mind.
Yeah. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Do we have an outro, Bald Brian?
The smell gets around you.
Well, that was disgusting.
Did you vomit?
Yes, I did.
Keep your eyes and your nose open, and you can play.
It's creative.
Hobo power.
I used to work with a guy at a theater that always had an idea of taking the Neptune Society and combining it with sport fishing, which is, we'll take your loved one, we'll sprinkle their ashes over the open sea, but after that, we're going sport fishing.
Yeah, we'll use their liver.
Yeah, we'll chum the water.
It's what they would have wanted.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, I have some CNN news I'd like to share with you this morning. I'll describe it. play you the clip when we come back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Adam Carolla.
This is Judy. Can I help you?
Judy, my name is Bertram. You guys do the low-cost sea burials?
Yes, we do.
All right. My uncle lives in the Portland area, and he just passed today, and it was his wishes to be scattered out over the bay.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this. Once you're on the boat, what do?
Basically, you have the boat for an hour, so you can do a service on the boat if you want.
And what about if you drop the ashes early, you had a little time to kill? Could you do some sport fishing?
No.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you guys, does this come with a preacher or a priest or anything? Or?
No, you supply all that, and that would be within your 30 guests. It comes with the skipper and the deckhand.
And that's it. So that's all right. I'll bring my first mate, Gus. The G-Frocked Jesuit. He knows all the religions. So he'll do that. And we'll just take the boat for an hour and then just do a little sport fishing, right?
The deckhand and the captain will not allow fishing on an ashes to sea.
Yeah, but the spirit of the mariner. I mean, if I grease their palms a little bit. Yeah, understand I'm grieving. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just coming all the way out there to Oregon and my wife's in a horrible way. And I was supposed to go fishing this weekend anyway. You understand, it's the way I grieve, it's the way I cope with the pain.
Okay, there's still no fishing on an ashes to sea.
Even if it's not off a rod, even if it's just a drop line?
There's no fishing on an ashes to sea.
All right, well listen, I'll tell you what. We'll come down there, I'll bring my rig just to play it safe. Not saying it's going into the water, just going to bring it along, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
You guys sell bait?
No.
You got weights? You got all the tackle?
They're not going to rig a pole for you.
How much is the cremation?
I don't do cremation. You'll have to talk to the funeral home in Portland.
Oh, it's got to be expensive. We can't just slide them off?
No.
Take a couple of five-gallon milk cartons, fill them with water, use some zip ties around his feet, and just toss them in?
No.
Well, who's going to know?
I will know, and the skipper will know, and that's illegal to do off their boat.
Save myself some cremation money, and we get to fishing. Crack a few beers and enjoy it. That's the way you would have wanted it.
Well, you'll have to call us with a credit card and stuff when you make up your mind and make a reservation.
All right, yes. Thank you. Thank you. You have a hell of a way of dealing with the grieving.
Bye-bye.
How about I dice them up? We got a nice chum slick going.
Yeah, we forgot we had that call.
Nicely done.
Right off the topic. All right, well, speaking of the news, I was watching CNN this morning, and I was shocked as I was eating my porridge this morning. Molly had a look of surprise as well as she was watching me eat my food. That's what my dog's main pastime is, watching me eat. You know, if you think about it and you go, what does your dog love to do? Oh, I love to jump in the lake, or he loves to go hunting with me, or loves to chase a tennis ball. My dog likes to watch me eat. She's a great, you know, I feel we're kindred spirits because, as I've said, nobody receives oral better than I do. Nobody, no dog watches others eat or receive oral for that matter. Like my dog, Molly. She'll put her chin right on my thigh and just stare at me. And then every once in a while.
Oral?
That's
weird for me.
Every once in a while, she'll do this just to let me know she's there. Just a big, that sigh.
Kind of like me yesterday.
I've gotten no scraps for the last 10 minutes. We were watching CNN early this morning, as I'm apt to do. Kieran Chetri, the pretty news anchor, was on there. And I was shocked to hear not only this story, but what came out of Kieran's mouth.
An elderly man goes in for brain surgery only to have doctors operate on the wrong side of his head. And this is not the first time it's happened, or even the second.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she think the cameras weren't rolling anymore?
I don't know. You know, she's a human being. It's a live show. And, you know, obviously she felt strongly about the story.
You have to use so many cuss words.
Wait a second.
Let's hear it one more time.
An elderly man goes in for brain surgery only to have doctors operate on the wrong side of his head. And this is not the first time it's happened, or even the second.
Wow. I had a theory, and now it's out the window.
What was the theory?
The theory is that she says something else.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say that word.
Right.
But when I hear it again, it totally, there's nothing. What else can she do? She says what the...
No, she said what the fallout is. And as I was, my mind is so filthy that if you say any word that starts with an F and hesitate at all...
Well, she pauses before it, and then she launches into what the fallout.
Whatever.
What the fallout.
What the fallout. I just thought, well, that's going to be a great beep. Anyway, you know.
I'd like to hear it one more time now that I know.
All right, let's listen one more time.
An elderly man goes in for brain surgery only to have doctors operate on the wrong side of his head, and this is not the first time it's happened or even the second. What the f***?
Plus, it is a great what the F story.
Yeah, it really is.
You're going for brain surgery and they operate on the wrong lung?
Three
what
times?
The fuck?
I don't care what's on the prompter. What the F?
This is a joke. When I was having surgery on the lower part of my body,
right.
I wrote in Sharpie, wake me if this goes up. And if this goes off, and I put my pager next to it,
right.
Thinking I'd be cute. But then I put a big X on the correct testicle.
Yeah. Well, they do that. They take a Sharpie and mark the right side.
Yeah, well, this, I did it myself. I wasn't waiting, although there was no missing it.
We need to take ourselves a break. What the F? I'll tell you what the F. The news is next, T.
Well, what great American is this speaking?
All the American voices sound dorkier than this.
Surprising.
Don't. I know who it is because I saw the news piece, but we'll tell you who it is next.
And Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, have you ever wanted to be a stripper? Well, the Ace Man's going to give you your chance when we roll out a little custom strippogram. We'll sit down with the restaurants, Rocco Despirito, and have a little chat with prisoner David. 2 and 25 to life in the California State Penal System.
An inmate at a California correctional system.
Yeah.
Plus the news with Teresa Strasser. And Danny, please don't pass out in the microphone today.
A partridge in pain.
866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
He's under control.
This is going to take a little while to come down. I can see that coming.
That's already far in my rearview mirror. I enjoyed it, as a matter of fact. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Sad news this morning in the world of sports. Washington Redskins safety Sean Taylor died early this morning after being shot Monday by intruders at his home in Miami. The National Football League has confirmed this. The 24-year-old NFL defender died in a Florida hospital. He underwent surgery there for 7 hours to repair a severed femoral artery, but he did not make it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither. Now, as you've probably heard by now, there was allegedly a robbery in his home. He was with his fiance, and neither she nor their 18-month-old daughter was harmed physically by the intruders. And it was the second break-in at the home within 8 days.
What the?
Yes, a couple of things. First off, I heard her described as his girlfriend of 7 years on a couple of occasions this morning. So I don't know if it's a fiance or a girlfriend.
I've read fiance. I've read girlfriend.
Maybe her name is fiance. It's his girlfriend. Can be confusing.
Either way, they had a child.
Fiance's sister.
Couple of thoughts. Yeah, he got shot and it hit an artery in his leg and he bled out. I know this is a tough time and these are tough questions, but she was there in the room. She was hiding under the covers, by the way. I'd be scared S-less too, but hiding under this, you know, it's not a Kevlar cover. She just hid under the covers until the guys left. Then the guys left, right?
Right.
She called 911. I know he got hit in an artery.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'm guessing
if
she wasn't an EMT, but if she applied pressure,
yeah.
It seems to me. And again, she's not an EMT, she's not a medic, she's not a veteran and all that good stuff. But it seems to me that with just a little bit of training, this thing would have been preventable. She calls 911 the second these guys leave, and I'm guessing it was moments after they shot him. Now, maybe they hung around the house for a while, but I imagine they took off after they shot him. She calls 911 immediately and then goes and finds where the gaping wound is or where the entry wound is and the blood's pouring out and ties a towel around it or just says, here's, press his towel on it real hard. This guy's a world-class athlete. Seems preventable. But maybe they stayed in the house longer, and I'm guessing she didn't do that technique.
The tourniquet.
And by the way, all the time we waste in school, all the time I was warehoused in the LA Unified School District, all the crappy cooking and sewing classes, I could tell you how to make Pillsbury popovers by sprinkling Parmesan cheese onto Pillsbury muffins and sliding them into a 350-degree oven. But if you got shot, I couldn't do a tourniquet or stop the bleeding. Maybe we ought to prioritize a little bit. Maybe that should be a semester's worth of, you know, you end up having kids and they ask you if you want to take a CPR class and all that kind of stuff. Why not just turn everyone into a uncertified nurse? Why not take every seventh grader and have them take a semester of life saving versus the effing sewing class or the effing horticulture class or this thing where we try to turn guys into chicks? Why? What the F is that for? And they do that thing where they go, hey, you got to learn to cook. You'll learn to cook if you're interested in cooking. Yeah. You know how I learned to cook? My mom didn't learn to cook. That's how I learned to cook. I was a bachelor and didn't have any money. That's how I learned to cook. But you don't learn CPR just by learning, you know, knowing it through osmosis.
It's very possible that it's just an admission we don't wish to make. But we have to learn to heal people who have been shot. That has become mandatory to live in the United States. You have to be able to take care of a gunshot.
Well, I understand, but maybe you're just cross-country skiing and your buddy gets a compound fracture of his femur and you just have to learn how to take two sticks and make a splint out of it.
A basic first aid would be useful. Even yesterday, I asked Angie if she knew CPR because I was worried about Danny, and she does.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, producer Angie was ready to step in.
But then she swore not to do it if he goes down.
She said, there's a mouth-to-mouth aspect that concerns me, but it is life or death.
She said, I heard her yell to Dawson, quick, give me your bong and a hacksaw.
We'll go that direction.
I'm going to invent a device.
No, you make a good point. Basic first aid, I would love to know. I mean, I think it's most people would be intuitive to do a tourniquet.
We've all probably heard about that. I don't know how effed up the school system is now. I imagine it's probably even worse than it was when I was in it in the late 70s and the early 80s. But I swear to God, we had, in the seventh grade, we had requirements. Your requirement was ceramics, cooking, sewing, horticulture, and I ended up having all of them throughout the years. Plastic shops, even my beloved wood shop. Really, most of the people that end up taking their horticulture class or their ceramics class or their effing sewing class.
Hard.
I took a sewing class. Everything would go right from the grading table into the garbage can. It's like, okay, I got a tie-dyed pillowcase here, Mrs. Wilkins. Are we done? C-minus? Where's the trash can?
You can go. You can take a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
That's right.
My motto.
What? I'm not using any of it. Now, on the other hand, if I'd learned CPR, or I've learned how to make a tourniquet, or I'd learned how to make a splint, or I'd learned some basic...
How to treat a bee sting.
Yeah, whatever. Somebody has hyperthermia. Somebody fell into a frozen lake. You pull them out. Should I cover them with towels? Should I hit them with more water? What should I do? How about it? We're all human beings. Really? Do I have to think of this crap, people? This is... By the way... This goes to show you that the folks in power don't give a good rat's ass about anything, really, other than not getting fired. There's no real practical application for any of the crap they teach you. You should have this before you have trigonometry, even before algebra, before anything. All right, sorry. If this chick had had, I'm guessing, if this chick had had some basic, just very rudimentary skills in that department, he'd probably still be alive. Probably.
Well, one hopes that even if you knew how to do this, you could do it when you were in shock. You know,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, maybe even if you had the information, you'd be pretty freaked out after intruders came and shot
you. I don't know what shock is, though. I mean, I don't buy that. I think that's something from movies that affects a very small percentage of people. I think most people snap into action.
Yeah,
Show me a mom that's shocked when her kid gets run over, just sits there and stares at it and can't do anything and can't dial 911.
Here's shock.
Doesn't exist.
Shock is your boyfriend gets shot three times and you choose to hide under 350,000 count thread sheet.
Right.
That's shock. If you're hiding under a blanket, you must be in shock. If you're not at least under the couch, you're probably in shock.
Well, she called 911 at some point.
Yeah, she did. And 8 days before that fatal shooting, an intruder pried open a window and went through drawers and a safe in the home and also left a knife on the bed. according to police.
On the bed.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is the break-in that prompted Taylor to ask for time away from team meetings to handle matters relating to the incident.
Mm-hmm.
No word if these incidents are related.
Well, I do hear the thing where he was troubled. I don't know what that's code for. And two more quick thoughts. First off, Florida. What a shock. What a shock that this took place in Florida. The other thing is somebody came in here. I can't remember who. I think it was Bald Brian. And Bald Brian says, I want to hear the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's a little bit racist. I think we're all having a little bit racist thoughts. If you think about it, I want to hear the rest of the story.
There is no racial bigotry here.
That's not totally racist, but it's a little bit racist.
Why?
Something has to do with him being an athlete. Something has to do with him being young. But something has to do with him being black.
He has had a lot of issues off the field prior to this.
Mm-hmm. That's got something to do with it. But I still say, white guy, not as many people going, I got to hear the real story.
Oh, okay, you're right.
I got to hear the real story. This guy was related to him.
Somebody breaks into a doctor's house, shoots him, it's a robbery. A white doctor's house,
right.
It's a robbery.
It happened. It happened four months ago. Guy broke in, tied everyone up, killed everyone. And everyone goes, that guy's a maniac. He needs to be stopped. Or thank God they caught these guys or whatever. No one goes, I need to hear the rest of the story. Again,
where's the crack?
It's a very subtle, but it's the ultimate racism. You see, making an off-color joke or Pollock joke or something like that, that ain't racist. Thinking like this, that's the ultimate. As I said before, when you do that thing, when the little black guy can't read, the little black boy, and you go, oh, you see, he fell through the cracks of the system. Nobody ever taught him. And we don't. Now, when that happens to a little white boy, what do we think?
Dyslexic.
You're dyslexic. As a matter of fact, if a kid's not dyslexic and he's 12 and he's white and he can't read, we will talk him into it. Oh, you probably have a form of dyslexia, but it's gone undiagnosed. When's the last time you saw a little black kid going, dyslexia? He's dyslexic. Why can't they be dyslexic? We're racist. That's why.
Well, here's the other side of that. If you see a child, a black child who's on TV or somewhere in the media, and they're very well spoken, everyone will say, what an articulate kid.
Right.
A white kid, they'll say precocious.
Good point.
Nice.
Articulate versus precocious.
Yeah, articulate always strikes me as a little racist. Why? Because he can speak
right.
Well?
So all of us, including myself, who has the, and again, there are other circumstances other than the color of his skin, but all of us are going, I want to hear the real story. Yeah. That is a slight form of racism.
Brian wants to defend himself.
I personally, it has nothing to do with that. I don't trust the slow release of information. Like, I was thinking specifically of the Virginia Tech thing a few months ago or close to a year ago.
Yeah.
When it came out, like, one person was shot and police have someone in custody. My first thought was no and no. There are many people shot and this guy's still at large.
Yes.
And with the Pat Tillman thing, I felt the same way. I was like, this did not happen like they said. I just didn't trust the slow release of information. I don't think anything to do with it.
Yeah, although this is not a slow release of information yet. Yeah, I can dig it.
There's a lot more to the story.
No, I can dig it. I can dig it. And I'm not saying we're racist or you're a racist, even though you are skinhead, the original skinhead. Just goose step down the hall and get me a cup of coffee, Bald Brian.
It's different if you can't help it.
But,
and thanks for letting me in.
But I'm saying it's a factor. Yes, there was trouble. He was troubled. There was something in the past, blah, blah, blah. But the skin color, definitely a 40 to 50% factor
hard
in.
Hard for it not to
the,
be.
Look, sad but true, but look, all you folks that don't think you're racist because you've never told an off-color joke, if you think that way, then I guess that makes you part racist. This is my argument for everyone having those feelings and those thoughts. I don't know why we have to go after Don Imus. We're all thinking it. Maybe it's overcompensation.
Well, when the guy from Saturday Night Live was shot and he was at
Garrett Morris,
and he was in Compton getting his car repaired. Well, of course he wasn't in Compton getting his car repaired.
No!
What kind of crack is he buying?
I spoke to him about being shot like 7 times once, and he did not want to talk about it.
No.
No.
Yes.
Well, here's a good test case, because sadly, there is another death in the news today. This guy is white. I am talking to you about Kevin Dubrow, the longtime singer for Quiet Riot.
You're kidding.
He has died. He was just 52 years old.
And in really good shape.
The circumstances
obviously not,
are somewhat mysterious. He was found dead in his Vegas home early Sunday morning. A friend sent a paramedic over to check on him after not hearing from him for several days. The cause of death still under investigation.
Paul Bryant said cancer, and he stopped thinking about it immediately. Moved on.
Must the circumstances aneurysm. Of Kevin's success are suspicious.
Some sort of white collar death. He was obviously crunching some taxes or getting early jump on
maybe
the
maybe he stabbed himself with a quill when he was crunching some taxes.
The last time I saw him, which was not that long ago, he looked the best I've ever seen him. He looked really fit and healthy.
I think possibly a jewel encrusted cufflink fell into his tea and he ingested it. Bald Brian? Yeah. Yes?
That's it, right?
Or perhaps he opened a window and a giant wind choked him out or took his scarf into the wind and choked him.
Died of exhaustion from spending the entire week at the soup kitchen over Thanksgiving.
I just assumed that he had choked on a shredded wheat. It was lodged in his air
sure.
thing there. But here is what's going on with that. The original Quiet Riot bassist Kelly Garney asked fans to be patient in a statement posted online and to not spread rumors and speculate about Kevin's death. He added that all the facts would be known in the next 24 to 48 hours. But a lot of people have been speculating, including one of Kevin's best friends, Glenn Hughes, a vocalist and bassist who played with Black Sabbath and Deep Purple over the years. That was the guy who sent the paramedics to Dubrow's house on Sunday. Apparently, he was going to fly from Vegas to L.A. to stay with Glenn over the Thanksgiving weekend. When he didn't show up and didn't answer his phone, his friend got concerned. Here's a statement he made online. The Kevin that I knew was a beautiful human being. He was kind, giving, nurturing, and generous. He would stay at my L.A. home when he was in town. I never saw Kevin loaded. He respected my sobriety. He always spoke about the change of my lifestyle and how he also wanted to change his. The last conversation I had with him 10 days ago was about this subject. He said he had to make some life changes. I was so happy and elated to hear this. Now, he did a radio interview this past May in which he discussed just this.
Back then, I was a bad boy. I mean, we used to stay up all night doing everything we could possibly get our hands on. And basically, I was 28 then, and my body would stand up to anything. I wouldn't be acting that way now if I had a choice. I mean, it would kill me, and I would look terrible and sound terrible. And when people would come see a band like Quiet Riot, we don't want to disappoint them.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, anytime there's a death in either Florida or Vegas, there needs to be an autopsy.
Right.
That would be my first move. When I'm president, first move.
I could be mistaken here, but there might be a curse involved.
Quiet
Riot? Wasn't there a guitarist, Randy Rhoads, until Ozzy took him?
It sounds familiar. And then Randy Rhoads died on the road with Ozzy.
With Ozzy.
I don't know if that's officially a Quiet Riot curse.
Well, when the lead singer and the lead guitarist both die in a band of four of unnatural causes. I gotta go. Well, I can't really back up curse scientifically.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know if there's enough there for an official curse.
What about poltergeist?
They're 20 years apart, I think.
Is there a poltergeist
Maybe
curse?
Maybe there's a poltergeist, well, yeah. I feel sorry for the young son, Guy Dude Bro. Who
Kevin Guy Dude Bro.
Kevin Jr. Guy Dude Bro. No, hey, look. I don't know if the guy has a son, but he dropped the ball if he did not name his son Guy.
Guy Dude Bro.
Imagine a cop pulls you over. What's your name? Guy Dude Bro. All right, get out of the car. I'm beating the crap out of you.
If you remember, I told you the reason I know Kevin is he used to date a girl and I used to date her
mother.
That is our connection.
Wow.
It's kind of weird that he's dead.
Gal Dude Bro?
Yeah.
Gal Dude Bro. Well, let me get to this quickly. One could argue that there's a Siskel and Ebert curse. Roger Ebert, of course, is still living. He recently used a computer to record an interview with Access Hollywood's Billy Bush. He can no longer speak on his own after part of his jaw was removed due to thyroid and salivary cancer. Here he explains why he chose this particular voice to speak for him.
It allows me to talk to you like this, and this voice is the easiest to understand I've been able to find on the web. All the American voices sound dorkier than this.
American voices sound dorky.
That's a C-3PO, or is that the character? Is that the Star Wars character?
Sounds
or R2-D2, which is the one that does the talking? C-3PO?
C-3PO is a protocol droid.
Sounds,
I'm sorry, what?
Wow, Nazi nerd.
He's trained. Talk about range.
Talk about range, yeah. A lot of range there.
Nazi nerds are capable of scary and great things.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way, most of the good Nazis were nerds back then, making the rockets and the ovens, a lot of calculating. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
The fun ones.
The leader Nazis.
Well, let's hear what's in the future.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Play that again, because it does sound...
We can play the next one. You'll hear more of his voice. Here's what he says is in his future.
Reconstructing voice and face. My fingers are crossed. No one can say for sure, but there is a chance I will regain my ability to speak.
I hope so.
Yeah, I always seemed like a good guy. I always felt like this is where we were heading, though, as a civilization. Because, now this is going to sound harsh. No disrespect meant, but he's always struck me as a heavyset lesbian. That's I always thought sexually, you know, my theory about how, you know, my ex theory is we're just going to have one chromosome. It'll be it'll be some mutated X or something. In the 50s, women were at the bottom of an X. Picture a giant X. You know, women were at the left side at the bottom and guys were at the right side. You ladies cooked and you sewed and you took care of the kids.
Slippers and waiting for us.
We wore red lipstick and pearls.
Right. We had ourselves a three martini lunch.
God, you guys were
and we chain smoked and we went to work and we died 20 years earlier.
Drunk because we had three martinis.
Right.
We all looked hot.
We had a couple of affairs, but you looked the other way and you were worried about being a good homemaker. That was important
right.
to you. You wanted things in order. When I came home from a long day's work, it was important to you that dinner be on the table and things be. And then we started inching up and we got into the 60s and the 70s. And at some point we started burning bras and we started getting into this weird gender morphification where it was like, you know, if you gave a little boy a doll, he would love to love dollies. And we hand him guns. And we tried to turn boys, and then everyone started wearing cargo shorts.
Right.
And before you know it, everyone was working. And before you know it, well, I don't cook, I don't sew, I'm not your bitch. But then what did the guys do? Well, we can't fix a car, and we can't change a flat, and we can't do anything. We are turning into women. Women are turning into men. We're crossing.
Right. You know what you need to do? Cross your heart, bras. Speaking of, burn the bras, but with the chicks still in them.
Yes.
I said, that'll teach you. Yeah. Keep my house clear.
Where's the
Have
Likas?
My dinner on the table.
Get the Likas laugh, would you please? All right, so
burn a bra, you go ahead. Just make sure you're wearing it.
According Salem Tuesdays over here.
Hey, when I wake up, I wake up.
According to my calculations, in somewhere about the time 2033, we're all just become one. We'll have ambiguous genitalia. No one will know
like
how to cook,
word.
And no one will know how to fix a car. You see? And that one... That will be Roger Ebert. We will all look like Roger Ebert. We'll all become
He's where
Roger.
Genders collide.
He's where genders collide. That, again, I know it's rough. The guy's suffering from cancer. I mean no disrespect, but it's a theory I've long held. And so far, there's nothing to prove that it's not happening.
It's a scary apocalyptic vision because I like when men are men.
Both my kids are going to look like Roger Ebert in about 25 years.
No. Yes.
Now, when you say you like it when men are men,
yeah,
and I don't literally mean Adam and or I,
yeah,
but in general, do you mean men are men because they're capable of doing men-like things, or you like men who are savages because they are
like
men?
Caretaking men. They'll carry your bag for you. They'll fix them,
like
change a light bulb for you. They'll swap the battery on your car.
Here's the problem. I've given you my Dirty Dozen analogy many times. It's nice. What you want in life is you want a computer expert, a knife thrower, a demolitions man, a second floor man. You don't want 12 knife throwers.
Right.
That's not going to be a good society.
Unless it's just a great party and there's a lot of alcohol there.
We had a dirty deuce going in that society. Hey, ladies, you learn how to take care of the kids, cook and sew. We're going to make some money and fix the cars and mend the roof when it rains. Fantastic. Well, now somebody decided we don't want to learn how to cook and we don't want to learn how to sew. And we went, well, F it. Then we're not fixing the roof or working on the car. Now we have one androgynous drone. That's not good.
No.
That's not good for those
it's
who like to
your,
eat or those who don't like to get rained on while they're eating.
And it's not good for anyone's sex life.
Right. Oh, wait. Likas is on the phone now.
Oh, no. He's agreeing with you.
He's agreeing with the...
Uh-oh. He wants to talk to me?
Uh-oh. Tom?
No.
Hold on. Let me see if I can punch him up. Hey, Teddy.
There you go.
Tom?
Yes.
Hi,
now,
Tom.
Now, Bonaducci said moments ago that if we're going to burn the bra, we ought to keep the women in him. What do you think?
That's what I say. Keep the bitches in.
Talking about Flash and Friday.
Oh, the people meters are going through the roof.
People
are
love this
we are
stuff.
Getting ratings now.
Yes, and there they go. And the reason I called is I awakened very early in the morning.
Right.
And
for a job.
I check my stock portfolio.
How's your FICO score?
My FICO score has hit an all-time high.
Higher than your cholesterol?
Yes, T.
Not higher than your ratings. I heard you discuss that for an hour last
ratings
week.
Ratings are very high.
Okay.
And the FICO score, however,
so
is 947.
Wow.
And my ratings are 985.
Wow.
I have a 985 share.
Wow.
Congratulations.
And wait for the people meter. We're going to break 1,000 here.
I know. It's going to be awesome.
You. Good for you.
The reason I'm calling, and by the way, let me say to you, that I would have a higher credit score, dear, if I didn't have so much credit.
I see, right. Your credit is too good.
Yes, you see, my own good credit is working against me, and now I have substandard credit by my standards.
Right.
Because I've been loaned so much, and I've paid so many bills on time.
I see.
So your
FICO score would actually be better if you weren't such a good bet.
Yes.
To lend money to. I understand. Did you want to say anything to Teresa? Yeah.
Adam, and I don't want to take a lot of time because I know you're very, very busy.
Yeah.
But it was brought to my attention here on the Tom Likas show. At 1-800-5800-TOM. 1-800-5800-866. That your very own Teresa Strasser had some editorializing to do about the Tom Likas show several weeks back. T, would you like to air the dirty laundry there?
Well, Tom, I have nothing against you, and I think you're a very talented broadcaster.
Really?
I think it's unfortunate that you prey on people. Who are not that smart and who need a father figure, and I feel like it's unfortunate.
Oh, what a bitch.
Now, Tom, do your callers call you dad?
Call me father, dear.
Father. Now, I think that's beautiful, and I think that's nice of you to be a father figure. And I do
call
think...
me father because you know who's your daddy.
Listen, daddy, I'm going to flirt with you because that's going to make you hear me. Now, daddy, because you know I like the chubs. I do like a chubby man.
Oh, he's husky. He's not overweight.
Tom, daddy.
No, not overweight at all.
Daddy, I do feel like a lot of people need a father and don't have one. A lot of young men need advice from a father. I just worry that the advice that you give is not sound, and that if they want advice from somebody who has a healthy, happy marriage, they should be getting it from somebody like Adam Carolla.
Wait a minute.
Darling.
Hold on. Let me defend you for 1 second, first off. I don't know how much Tom weighs, but I know his wallet weighs a lot.
Yeah.
All right. That's all bitches care about, number one.
17 pounds.
And what's wrong with telling a handful of guys with GEDs to kick their pregnant girlfriends to the curb?
Yes.
Where do I start?
My point exactly.
And let's face it, Tom, between you and I. Between you and I.
No.
Baby, listen to me. Listen, sweetie, baby, you know that it's all a big vaudeville act for money.
Uh-oh.
But it hurts people.
Oh, wow.
It hurts people. Dear. It hurts women.
Jack
and it hurts
Silver's
men.
Now dear. Driving off dear. The road.
It hurts women and men, but it's a great act. Uh-huh. So is wrestling.
Darling,
is wrestling real?
Are you done foaming at the mouth?
Baby,
because
yes.
What I do.
You're turning me on.
What I do, and I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
What you're missing is my handprints on your ass. What I do.
I am too, buddy.
I would have sex with you if you would go away.
Wow.
I try to help, dear, darling, I try to help young men keep their money and not be tied down, not spend more than $40 on a date.
It's horrible advice.
Because you know that women are the cheapest creatures on the planet.
How about the Jewish women, Tom? She's a Jew.
Uh-oh.
She's a Jewette.
Do you mind?
You know what I think is funny?
Do you hate women or Jews or both?
That, I'm sorry?
Do you have anything against the Jews or is it just women you don't like?
It's women in general.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I also understand that you don't understand the success of my show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of guys, darling,
yeah,
who are driving home from work, and they're in terrible marriages, or
right,
perhaps they've had a...
Tom, what happened to your voice?
I'm sorry, my voice is giving out on me.
Are you okay?
By the way, check the studio. If you should see lying on the ground my uvula, please pick it up and return
Did
it to me.
Did that come out?
Danny smoked it. I got bad news for you.
One bong hit. It was nothing.
The point I was going to make to you, Adam, Danny, and T, is that what I am trying to do is I am trying to protect all the boys.
That's right.
I know, but in fact, you're hurting them.
Like
your advice is not sound, and you know it.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with
you're
both of you.
You're very talented. You're very talented. I need you to use your powers.
The thing you said.
Shut up, Tom. I need you to use your powers, and you too. I need you to use your powers for good instead of for evil, because you know the advice you're giving is useless.
Oh,
then everybody should listen to the Christian station, or everybody should listen to NPR. But
right,
they don't. They listen to us and grades of us up until
Danny,
Tom Likas.
Do you think it's good advice to spend $40 on a date? And to leave your pregnant girlfriend.
Not if you can only spend $30.
Well, I have never spent more than $40 on a date.
You just bought a girl a piano, Danny. You're full of it.
Hold on a second.
No, she's full of me. So are a couple of her friends.
That was to rape her on, by the way, to be fair to Danny.
he called it a rape.
How much can you spend for
a rape? The guy at the piano store was confused, and Danny kept calling it a rape stand.
Tom and I have different approaches. I will give you that. But the way you said it, give me 1 second, Tom. The way you said to Tom, I will have sex with you if you will go away, is the way every man thinks about every woman.
Yeah,
I will have sex with you if you promise to go away.
I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to do something for all of humanity.
Yeah. All right. You've done nothing. Hey, Tom, we're running late. How about just give the email address out one time, and then we'll take a break.
Thank you. I'd like the opportunity to do that.
All right.
Tom,
if you should see my larynx on Wilshire Boulevard, please return it.
Tom, I don't...
Like,
yeah.
If
yeah.
you'd like to email me...
Yeah.
My email address is my name, Tom.
See, he is a great broadcaster.
I know.
I can't take that away from
Nobody
him.
Nobody could not talk
He's
like that.
He's more successful than I'll ever dream
me
of being.
Up, Tom.com.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Likas.
Let's take him out Kieran Chetley style. Oh, it's going to take a while. That's a CNN
Well, can we take him out with, like, a poop sound?
No, we'll have...
Tomorrow's News.
There we go.
Today, Lisa Strasser. You, CNN.
Wow, spirited debate here with Tom Likas or Aunt Teresa Strasser.
Yeah, but it's called the Tom Likas Show.
Right.
It's a show. Leave it alone.
Rocco DiSpirito, one of my favorites. I
Triumph love
that.
Of the Wills was just a movie.
I love that, touche, that,
Yeah?
Brian has that in his iPod.
What the He's a skinhead.
Skinhead Brian.
You know what? And of all the Leni Riefenstahl references in Morning Zoo Radio, that's just another one.
We'll take ourselves a break. Rocco DiSpirito from one of my favorite shows a couple years back, The Restaurant. I love the cut of this guy's jib. He's in next.
Great when it looks good, but if it doesn't taste good, it's worthless. Food always has to taste good. It's the most important thing is the flavor. And how do you know if it's good? You taste it.
Hmm.
I don't know if you can hear that, but he just went, mmm.
That was more like, hmm. Anyway, Rocco DiSpirito is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Rocco, I fell in love with watching the reality show The Restaurant. I'm not, not a chef. I don't read cookbooks, but I loved opening a restaurant, and I thought, wow, this is a really difficult undertaking. The restaurant, opening a restaurant, and it's a metaphor for life. It involves every aspect of life, does it not? I mean, you have to find the property, you have to get the right people, then you have to get the ingredients, you have to make everything work, and if one of them doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's amazing. We took television and restaurants, the two least likely to succeed businesses, and put them together in one, you know, atomic bomb. It was pretty amazing. It's like a big family in a home, you know. You've got kids who are dysfunctional, you got parents who fight, and you've got all these things to maintain in the house, the lawn, the furniture, the, you know, the plumbing, and you try to do it all at once with 100 people and then invite guests over. Who you have to, you know, pretend none of that's going on to make them happy. So yeah, it's a pretty messed up situation
that,
sometimes.
That was in New York. It seems to me that the New York restaurant goers are probably, would you say they're more discerning than folks in, very, let's say, Iowa or even Los Angeles?
Yeah, their expectations are through the roof. I mean, restaurants in New York are basically a public service, just like a church. You know, they're not for profits in most cases, and they expect you. You know, they expect everything from you. So if they want you, you know, blueberry pancakes in the middle of a dinner at Le Cirque, you have to go out and make it happen. It's really amazing because you're supposed to be a business. You're supposed to be serving a product. You could never get away with that in a car dealership. You couldn't go into a car dealership and say, hey, I want an Audi, even though you're a Corvette dealership. You know, and expect them to go get it, right?
Right.
Yeah. But how far will you go out of your way if somebody wants something that is not on your menu, but you could make?
100%. You have to say yes to everything. Otherwise,
what kind of
you fail.
How have you gotten like that?
Oh, I've gotten the blueberry pancake thing.
Absolutely.
Blueberry pancake in the middle of dinner.
Dude,
and
Rocco,
you say yes. Yes, sir.
If you
with
saw
pleasure.
The request my girlfriend just made of you on my text conference, she had a bit of a crush.
Rocco explained to me during the commercial that one time he had to go all the way to Snot Rocket in Loogie Street get the secret ingredient. For the super needy client.
We had a specialist in that in the kitchen.
if the customer is rude and demanding, does anyone in the kitchen ever...
Well, you just described most customers. I mean, most customers are demanding, not always rude.
If they're off the charts rude.
Yeah.
Do you know or have you heard of anyone tainting their food with said Snot Rocket?
Okay, let me just tell you right now. The cooks are such fans of helping people make people happy, they will never do anything like that to food. Do not worry about that. Cooks do not do that. Cooks are the most generous, loving people on the planet.
Just wish you weren't a liar.
All right, should we ask our etiquette question now to Rocco, since he knows the restaurant business
well? Let me just say,
well,
I've personally never done that, nor have I seen anyone ever do
it.
That.
Ask Rocco the question. Explain what happened.
Rocco.
Okay.
You know, Adam is part owner in a restaurant called Amalfi.
I've heard.
Food. Good restaurant.
Small owner.
So good.
I need to go over there, huh?
Small. He's one of many owners, I presume.
Yeah, right.
And he and his wife.
You make your money back?
No.
Of course not.
I'm not making money back. Thank you.
Well, he and his wife were kind enough to take my boyfriend and I out for dinner. It was so good, so good. And my boyfriend loved his pork chop, but there was some left. And I had you know, some of my food left. And then Adam announced at the end of the meal that since he was taking us out, all of the leftovers were his. We thought he was kidding, and he wrapped them up and took the leftovers.
I mean, if that's all you had to do to make him happy, then why not, right?
Yeah.
You got rid of him cheap,
they
right?
They asked for dollars. Well, look, here's the way I didn't ask you to pay for it.
I thought you were going to say he asked everyone to throw in for the tip.
No. On the way over there, we had a whole conversation, like, do we try
Isn't
to pay?
Isn't he your boss, by the way?
He's my boss.
So aren't you supposed to say yes, absolutely, without question?
I've heard him say it a dozen times. I've heard him say, if I take you out to dinner and you don't finish your dinner, what you don't finish is mine.
Now, I bet he has a good reason for it. Why do you do that?
Well, I don't like Teresa. I paid for one meal, not two, sweetie. You understand? I didn't pay for your boyfriend's breakfast. No, here's what happened.
Do you bring it to the homeless? Do you bring it to people who are...
What happened is I do a few things that I don't know how people perceive or not. I know I'm effing around. I was kidding, obviously. I didn't want to take home a boyfriend's half-eaten pork chop, but
I was scared. He's my boss.
There's a couple of funny,
you should be scared.
Couple of funny things. One thing I do like to do is when I used to go out with all the writers over at Kimmel or whatever, I would say, I'm buying lunch for everybody except for, you know, the bill was $250. I need $5 from everybody because I don't have any cash. So you will pay $5 for your $20 meal. It's going to cost you 25%. Everyone would roll their eyes and thought it was funny. But seriously, I had a credit card and no cash in my wallet, and I just wanted cash. So I'll pay for everyone's meal, and you give me $5. That was one move I did. The other move was this I forgot about. And we had a little wine. And when I collected my stuff,
and my wife collected her pork chop. Here's the funny part. She then, we took it home. And then when we got home, it was funny because the following night, my wife ate what she thought was her pork chop. And then the following night, I sat down with a pork chop. And my wife said, "What are you doing eating my pork chop? I already ate my pork chop last night." And I said, "I don't know. There was a pork chop in the refrigerator." And she said, "I ate Batman's pork chop." That's Teresa's man's name. And
your,
I said,
"Your boyfriend's name Batman?"
Then you call him that for purposes of the show.
Anonymity.
To keep his anonymity.
She got a little grossed out.
The Cape Crusader.
It's one thing to share a little pasta salad, but a pork chop's a very intimate item.
Is your wife still healthy? Is she okay?
She's grown a penis. Other than that, she's in a cape. Other than that, she's fine.
She doesn't like kryptonite anymore.
You know, I got to tell you, I hate counters. People who count when they paid and didn't pay and how much they paid.
Right.
And I paid this time and you paid last time.
Ooh.
You know, I pay, everybody pay all the time. You know, it always works out even in the end.
How about the fact that you own restaurants? You still own restaurants?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Well, you did own restaurants.
I did
restaurants.
Own plenty of them, yeah.
Anytime anyone came over to eat with you or came to the restaurant to eat, it was expected that you take care of it.
You know,
there is
some of that, and I, in many ways, perpetuated that because I was very generous in the restaurant. If a friend came over, I'd always comp the check. I'd always treat him super VIP. I'd send him out the best food and stuff like that. I mean, to a fault, I probably did it too much. Yeah, but, you know, friends expect something. Most people are reasonable in their expectations.
Is it...
Free glass of wine, you know, dessert.
Right.
See, that's what I'd do. I'd send a bottle of wine or
weren't
something.
You, weren't you in a restaurant, too?
He worked
I've been
at
one.
Weren't you an owner of a restaurant?
I did. I owned 50-50 of a restaurant called, what the hell was it? Some Italian restaurant.
Did you make your money back?
Oh, my God, I took such a bath.
Yeah, you
still
know,
recovering from that.
It's a public service.
It's a horrible business.
God.
So now you're doing the cookbooks, and that's a much less stress-free way to go through life for Rocco DiSpirito.
Getting out of the restaurant business was probably one of the best things I've ever done. I mean, there are only so many things I can do at once and do well, and at some point I was fearless and sort of delusional to think I could do a TV show, two books, run three restaurants and do them all well. So now I'm writing cookbooks, I'm working on another TV project, I'm doing these triathlons, and I'm pretty happy. Yeah, the cookbook is fun. It's great. It's like it's for everybody. Anyone who thinks they can't cook.
Rocco's
Danny, even you can cook from it.
Real life recipe.
I thought you said that once before, yeah.
What's different about it? Why should we get it? What's interesting about it?
Well, aren't you giving away like 100 free copies? That's one reason.
Are we?
I hadn't heard this. Producer Angie.
I'm just starting trouble, guys. There's a book signing tonight. When is it? It's Thursday night.
Thursday night at Book Soup. And by the way, Book Soup's one of the best places to sign books. Because
is it really?
It's one of the five bookstores in the L.A. County that are connected to the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason this book is different is because it teaches you how to lie and cheat on your husband and get away with it.
But, Rocco, do you mostly...
It really does. It's all shortcut foods, so you get to lie and cheat, never tell your husband, he'll never know that you made it with canned and frozen and jarred stuff.
I thought you were telling me how to, like, bone other chicks.
You don't need any help with that, bro. What are you talking about?
Do mostly women come to see you at your signings, Rocco?
It's a lot of women, but there are some men as well. Yeah.
It's got to be rough.
Are you single?
I am single, yeah.
Smart. What are you thinking right now?
But I'm just saying, he can cook. He's very handsome.
Like,
he's successful.
I've got giant flaws, though. You have no.
What are your flaws? What are your vices?
She can fix you.
Narcissistic, manic, depressed. What else? You want to go into the whole DSM-4?
I like you better now.
Put on the sweatsuit and you're at him.
Manic, depressive.
I am pragmatic. I paid for the food. You're not taking it home.
That was fair.
Right. I can only bench 120. How much can you bench, Dan?
About 250.
Yeah, see, that's another flaw.
That's a lot. Yeah. Hey, Rocco's going to be at Book Soup on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday
Did
night.
Did we figure it out?
7:30.
7:30
on
Sunset
Boulevard. Yep.
Good times. And the name of the book is Rocco's Real Life Recipes. Rocco. Good times. And when you do your new TV show, I'll be excited to see it because I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of your last TV show.
Maybe you'll make an appearance. Who knows?
Oh,
yeah,
I'd love
to. If I can afford you.
I can eat. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, something we haven't done in a while are my custom stripograms.
Been a while.
You call up, you give us your name, I think your weight, your height, the kind of car you drive,
what you do
for a living, and a hobby, and I will make a custom strip club announcement right out of you.
866-901-ADAM. We'll do custom stripograms next.
Thanks.
Give the Ace Man a call at 866-901-ADAM. Tell him a little bit about yourself and get ready to take off your clothes. Custom stripogram on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we haven't done it in a little while, but
people keep saying that to me.
It was a nice coincidence because I think we decided to do it yesterday when we were having our little post-mortem over here. And then I went on the message board and there was a message on there saying, hey, I haven't heard this one in a while. So from your mouth to God's ears. Here it comes, everybody. We got an intro? Yeah.
Step away from the businessman's lunch and grab some singles. Coming to the stage now, it's Stripogram.
Let's start with Mary, or Marie, I should say. Marie?
Marie!
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sound hot already.
She's
What's up with you?
Well, I'm a writer, but, you know, I like to leave my clothes on other people's floors. As usual.
And
is she making lurch sounds? Remember when Lurch would answer the door?
Yes.
Yes.
She's 6 foot tall, 130 pounds, it says here.
Wow. Oh, yes.
That's Lurch.
That's hot.
Yeah, you'd have to lurch over to get a Danny.
Dude, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Marie, what do you write?
I write blogs. I write about
blogs.
Yeah, I know. It's
Start? No, she's not writing.
No, I'm sorry.
She's
that's
a blogger.
That's luck. Everyone's a writer. Everyone's an author. We're living in very dangerous times.
My 6-year-old is an artist because he's a coloring book.
She's a tall blogger.
Right. Everyone with a Mac is a everyone who has a Mac computer is a recording artist too.
And Marie, other than being very tall, what do you look like?
Well, as I was telling the screener, I am 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I, let's see, I guess that makes me immediately hot. I get a lot of comments. I have a pink mohawk.
Oh, now you're getting really hot.
See, now you're getting gnarly. Now you're getting nasty. And I like that.
What kind of car do you drive?
Oh, wow. Well, I drive a Mazda.
Yeah.
But the specialist part of this Mazda is the retarded, ridiculous racing stripes.
Mm-hmm.
They're bright red, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So am I, baby.
So you're driving the car that a 17-year-old Asian kid who's into video games would drive?
Well, it's a station wagon, so probably not.
Oh, really? So it's like the fast and the retarded?
She's a person that a 17-year-old Asian kid would kill to get in.
My car's like, it's like if the car
Hold on a second. Let me tell you something. I know there's supposed to be custom stripogram and everything goes south, but here's what I feel bad for. See, when you get an attitude and you get a look going, if you're going rock and roll or you're going rockabilly or you're going punk rock, well, the problem is you need a couple of bucks to really work that angle because there's nothing sadder than Mr. Rock and Roll climbing back into a 73 Mazda and putting off into the sunset.
That guy
needs to hop into a 64 Continental with suicide doors or get on a hog that's 20 grand and go off down sunset like he's in a video. You know what I mean? I always feel bad at the people that have the lifestyle except for they can't really afford the lifestyle. They have the attitude and stuff. So when Miss Hard Edge Mohawk climbs into the old Mazda station wagon with the boy racer stripes on it, it becomes sad.
Well, I think we're close on Marie, but can we find out what she does to make a living?
I should have described the motorcycle first.
What do you have?
It's a 97. It's a Sunrace. They only imported 500 of them. They were built in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do strap the extra. I know I was hearing this on Danny's highly recommended
extra helmet.
Strap the extra helmet on.
This is amazing.
All right.
Yeah, you always want to bring an extra helmet.
What do you do to make money when you're not blogging?
Well, I work I write grants. So I get people jobs, you know.
Grant writer. With a pink mohawk.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm in an office. Nobody cares.
Okay, hold on. Is she high as a kite, or is she just that far gone?
It's hard for me to tell. You're good at this.
Dude, I just want to bone her. I don't care.
Hold on. Hey, have you been getting into Danny's cough syrup?
And I've been what?
Marie, are you high?
No, not right now.
Did you do copious amounts of drugs in the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't track real great. Anyone ever tell you that?
Do I track real great? No, I don't.
No, he said your tracks look great.
Did you ever get into an accident on the motorcycle where you weren't wearing the helmet?
No. No.
All right. That would have explained something. Hey, you ready to do this, Marie?
I'm ready to just watch.
Yeah. All right. Hey, everybody. Quit your grin and drop your linen and welcome to the stage, Marie. She's 8 foot and got 9 foot with a mohawk on her. Now, she's a little disoriented. Marie, stay away from the pole. Oh, gosh, no. Clean up aisle 9. Oh, wait a minute. She's back on her feet. She's stumbling around. Sweetie, the money doesn't go there. Oh, dear God, no. People, please avert your gaze. Please avert your gaze. Hey, folks, you may listen to the blog and grab your log. Marie's hitting the stage. She's incoherent, but she is hot. Don't piss her off. She'll jump in her $1,800 worth of Miata and head for the sunset. Marie, baby, that's an ashtray. Don't drink from it. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear sweet God. Oh, dear God in heaven. Marie, stop talking to the ATM. It's not a customer. I don't care if he's loaded. You're loaded, baby. All right, everyone, see if we can help her back to the stage. All right, baby. Yeah, that's right. Take that G-string off. Oh, Christ. No, not over your head. Drop it down. Pull it down. You got to pull it down. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Hey, Marie, shake your moneymaker. No, not the Asian businessman. Oh, Jesus Christ, no. Now we got another lawsuit on our hands. Sweetie, don't eat the light bulbs. Oh, Christ. Oh, dear God in heaven. Stage four.
You know, it's funny, we beat her up pretty bad, but I may be so in love with her.
I think Marie probably enjoyed that. I know Marie like I think I do.
Marie?
Yeah.
I have a head rush. How are you doing?
You just invented my new theme song. Oh.
Thank you, baby girl. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, no, thank you.
Hey, Marie. Merch. Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Does a Napoleon hat fit over the mohawk?
I guess a little flat, but...
Hold on a second. When chicks are nuts, what do they dress like? We got Napoleon. What do you have, like Marie Antoinette or Betsy Ross?
Are you trying to say I'm crazy?
That's a complex. I'm talking about the dress. T, why don't you guys come up with someone to dress like so we know you're nuts? Hey, Sharon?
Pink mohawk is a good tip.
Hey, how you doing?
Just come down here and know I'm nuts.
What's happening, Sharon?
Hello, Adam, Danny, Teresa, and Danny. I sure hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling much better. Thank you.
You're welcome. And hey, you know what? I'm not your average. I'm the granny that likes Danny.
I'm the granny that likes Danny.
The sexy granny.
Yes, I am. I'm the one that was a Danny fan when he was on the radio in that other radio station back a ways,
Well, I'm glad he took you with you over here. Now, what do you look like? What do you do? What are your hobbies? What's going on with you?
Well, I'm 5'4", 120. I have light brown hair with blonde streaks. I'm a grandma. I'm a good grandma, not a great grandma. I have three grandkids. I'm an adventure photographer. I drive a little red 2007 RAV. And I love to go to the beach.
And when you said RAV, you meant the Toyota RAV4?
Toyota RAV4, yeah.
I find myself having to cut through people's lingo all the time because to most people, I drive a little red RAV, doesn't mean anything.
No.
We barely got the little and the red part. So you drive yourself the world's smallest SUV, and you like photography, and you're a grandmother.
Yes, I am.
Anything we're missing, or are we cool here, people?
I don't know.
Well, Sharon, do you have a dark side at all that we should know about for your strippogram? Do you like anything kinky?
She likes me.
Yeah, there's my dark side. I'm married to a Danny, and he's an Italian as well. That's my dark side.
She likes Italians.
I couldn't tell you. I have no dark side. I've been married since I've been 18,
All right.
You know, so.
Nice.
But But you could, like I said, it's a challenge.
Aren't you glad you asked
the
question?
I'm sure you're up to it.
All right. You ready? 10 minutes ago, I was going to start this thing. Hey, all get around the stage. Sharon's coming to me. Sharon, pull down your skirt. Let's see your boobs. She's a sexy grandma. Sharon's on stage. They make Grecian formula for the gals. How about downstairs? White landing strip, sexy. Sharon, leave the grandkids in the dressing room, for Christ's sake, woman. Yeah, quit your grin and drop your linen, Sharon. She got herself a RAV4. She loves herself some douche man. She loves the Paisans. She's a Dan fan. We found the one Danny fan, everybody. She's going to die soon, but goddamn it. Get her people meet her before she hits the grave. All right, Sharon with the stretch marks and the gray pubes. Everyone, come on, drop the money on the side of the stage. Grandma needs a new hip. Jane, stage four. Looks like Albert Einstein down there.
Nicely done, man.
Sharon?
Yes, that was very good. I loved it. It was great, except for no stretch marks, no gray pubic hair.
Nice.
Now, do you have no gray pubic hair because you have no pubic hair? Or do you have no?
Oh, no, it's there, but it's tight. Let's just put it that way.
You're a grandmother. You shouldn't put those two words in the same sentence.
All right.
It's too bad.
Let's see.
To think it looked like Albert Einstein down there.
There's one. We'll do one more.
I'm never going to get tired of this.
Who do you want to talk to last?
I like Carrie on line 5.
All right. Let's talk to Amanda on line 4. Amanda?
Never gets old.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
I saw double D's on there. I went right
I'm
to
I'm the
it.
One that called in and knocked my 2 front teeth out during the sex injury story.
Yeah.
Adam, I've always dreamed of being one of your juggies for the man show.
You may be two of them with them double D's.
I'm covered in tattoos. I'm 5'8". I weigh 152. I have dark brown hair and blue eyes.
And I
drive a 2003 Jetta.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a receptionist.
Uh-huh. I'm being covered. It's like the covered in tattoos part seems like it might be a problem.
It also doesn't seem to go with the Jetta.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Are we only syndicated to the island of Misfit Toys?
I think so.
I feel like the only people we ever talked to have some sort of abnormality. Or is everyone just that effed
up
now in a society?
We're number one among misfits, ages 18 to 35.
We're number one amongst choo-choo trains with square wheels.
See, I think we're coming along greatly.
It scares me when I talk to the people who listen to this show. Amanda?
Yes.
Double D's driving the Jetta, huh?
Yep.
All right, let's see. Amanda, write this down. Amanda, receptionist. What are the hobbies?
Hobbies? I like to go out drinking. I wouldn't necessarily call that a hobby, but I'm a party animal. I do like to spend time with my family also.
Yeah. Wish it was reciprocated, huh? Yeah, it's too bad. They spend time with family. What's mom think of all the tattoos?
Actually, I hid my first tattoo from my mom for about 2 months, and then we were at a funeral, and I was leaning over and giving someone a hug, and I have the tramp stamp, and she saw it.
That had to be a nice blow while she was grieving.
What is the tattoo on the back?
It's my first tattoo, and I'm not very proud of it, but it's like a fairy with spider web wings.
Nothing says class. Like a fairy with spider web wings on your chick's ass.
That says whore.
That's right. Nothing says class like a tattoo that literally says class on your ass.
That's a good idea.
That must have been funny for mom at the funeral because it's like whoever was sitting next to her must have been like, well, she held together just fine, and then she broke down into a heap when she saw her young daughter. No, she was looking at the tramp stamp on her daughter's ass, and that's when she fell apart. All right, so we got the tramp stamp. We have the Jetta, we have the receptionist, and we have Amanda, right?
Yep.
And don't forget, if I'm not mistaken, we also have a girl who knocked her teeth out during sex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And has double D's.
Okay, here we go. Hey, everybody, welcome to stage, Amanda.
used to call her Bucktooth. Now we call her something that sounds like buck. That's how she lost the buck, too. She liked the buck just a little bit too much. Fuck off. No front teeth, you know what that means. All she needs a pair of knee pads, she becomes my ideal woman. She got more ink than a giant squid. Speaking of giant, check out them double D's. That stands for delicious. She drives herself a jet, I'd like to jet off to her place and then jet home again. Yeah. Got yourself a little Hitler mustache downstairs. How's that feel, T? Have fun masturbating tonight. Jade, stage four, stage four. Hey, Amanda.
Yes?
Hey, good times, baby.
Well, thank you very much. I'm actually walking into my office right now.
Well, tell the boss you said hi and show him the tramp stamp for me.
How's the weather in the land of misfit toys?
There you go.
See, people just go through phases. That's all. They're not always misfit toys. Those tattoos last a long time. She could have had that 8 years now.
Here's the problem. You hit it the nail on the head. The problem with the phase and the tattoo is you go through phases. Your right. tattoos go with you onto your next phase and the five after that. That's the problem. We all had hairstyles we're not too proud of from some time in the past. We're not still wearing them. That's the problem with a tattoo.
Yes,
it's like
it is.
A bad 70s haircut that you have to carry with you into your adult life.
Right. I thought that comedy tragedy mask was really cool at one point.
I named right. 3 days when I put that tattoo on my arm. But then I've got Jane, Sue, Dana, and somebody else, too, and I don't really know who they are.
Good times. We need to take ourselves a break. We have an outro.
You don't have to go home. But you can't stay here. Come back again for Stripogram.
When we come back, more hot topics. Watching CNN this morning, a topic out of, Sudan. I always want to call it the Sudan, but Sudan. School teacher went over there to do a little helping out. Unfortunately, someone in her class named a teddy bear Mohammed in an XENO. She's up for a stoning.
Oh, God, nice.
Wonderful culture, can't judge. We'll play you that story and get into it next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, a look back at the 2006 ACE Award winner for Worst Guest.
Can you just tell your group of friends, I'm going home with this guy tonight?
Probably not, unless you prove to them that you're real.
I have another question for you. What if I... what is the worst thing you can do when you're trying to pick somebody up? What's the biggest mistake you can make besides not being real?
Deaf frat guy answers faster.
Yeah, be a one-upper, like I said before.
Be a one-upper.
Don't be
one.
Yeah.
Who will take home the ACE Award for Worst Guest this year? Find out December 13th, the 2007 ACE Awards on the Adam Carolla Show.
You always got to watch out for the hot chick experts. She was a dating expert.
Yeah.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
I think she was an expert at drinking Danny's cough medicine.
Yeah.
Be a five-upper if you want to be anybody.
Oh, that's shrew. What was that bitch's name? I couldn't stand
what
her.
What was her name?
Because you brought her up before. You
the world's worst
Christine
guest.
Christine Dolce.
That's right.
Online,
that's right.
This Dolce. Or that.
A MySpace dating expert thing?
It was a body spray promotion.
Oh, jeez.
She was Miss
Game Killers.
Miss Axe 06 or something.
I normally associate body spray with the best and the brightest.
Yeah, she was horrific. I don't know if she was drugged up or what her problem was, but her dating advice was don't be a one-upper.
According to her publicist, she was exhausted.
Was she also dehydrated?
Tired from taking drugs?
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Dehydrated from drugs.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about CNN. First, my new favorite CNN clip. All right, you don't have to play it. Let's play this
one. An elderly man goes in for brain surgery only to have doctors operate on the wrong side of his head. And this is not the first time it's happened or even the second. What the f***?
She'd had enough
of that bad brain surgery. Another story I saw on CNN this morning coming out of Sudan, or we used to call it the Sudan. This is a little story about some British school teacher that went over there to try to help out. And, well, here's what happened.
Good morning. Well, this teacher faces up to 6 months in jail in Sudan, 40 lashes or a fine. Her name is Jillian Gibbons. She's 54 years old from Liverpool. It started as what seemed like an innocent project. She asked her 7-year-old students to name a class teddy bear. They picked the name Muhammad. That's also the name of Islam's prophet. And it's also the most popular name in the country. But on Sunday, police stormed the school and detained her under a law that deals with the insult of faith. Now, the school has been closed in fear of retaliation. We're told people are crowding around the police station where she's being held. The school's director says he's worried for her safety.
When do we start the carpet bombing?
Yeah, come on.
Listen, can we just go ahead and what point do we just go inferior? They're just an inferior culture. They're a horrible culture.
How about different?
This is the Sudan, everybody. This is where Darfur is going on. Can we just start calling them bad?
Wait, can I say something?
Please.
But if we judge an entire culture by its worst, then would you like to be represented by Shirley Roper Phelps? Because I would not.
Yeah, there's one of her. There's not enough to storm school. You understand?
She's got like 11 kids.
Well, that's true. She has a decent brood going over there. Look, it's all about, here's the deal, everyone. It's all about percentages. Everyone does that thing. Well, not every Muslim is a terrorist. No. Hell no.
But a lot of terrorists happen to be Muslim.
It's not. That is very true. Look, if 99% are good Quran-fearing family people, that's still way too high a percent. If 1%. You understand? What I'm saying is it doesn't take much to ruin the punch here, everybody. Yeah. And obviously that region is having some problems. And I don't know if it has to do with their effed up religion or their effed up culture. I don't know what the problem is. Here's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of just giving them money and sending over school teachers. I think we either start carpet bombing or we cut something off or we just drown the place in condoms or birth control or something. It's about population. Yeah.
I'd like to give a lot of condoms.
I would like to. What's wrong with
that?
There's an AIDS problem in Africa. Obviously a huge epidemic.
Right. There's a lot of problems.
A stoning problem. What about that problem? It's a pretty serious problem.
Yeah.
Do you know how it's done? They don't just heave rocks at you. They bury you up to your neck. And then they just stand around you and throw rocks at you. You don't get to run away.
Yeah.
You don't try to get to protect yourself.
I think she's in line for a caning.
Yeah,
possible
lashing.
Tire burning or something like that.
You get to choose.
All I'm saying is perhaps throwing money at every problem isn't the answer.
Well, this poor woman just wanted to teach these kids. Subliterate.
She goes over there to teach. She says, name the teddy bear what you want. The class votes. Not the family, not students that are from England, but students are right. That are from where they're from. They're from their homeland. And they decide to name it Muhammad, which, as this news story said, is the most popular name over there. And now there's an angry mob gathering around.
This is ridiculous and unjust.
You go to New York City.
Oh, you're
Muhammad.
Judging now, T.
It's ridiculous and unfair. It is unfair. How do we get this teacher out?
The
answer is not
Rambo
to get
her out.
The answer is not to get the teacher out. The answer is to let the teacher stay there and be perfectly safe. So therefore, carpet bombing.
That's right. Look, I'm at a point where I'm going to go ahead and label some cultures as flawed.
We're all flawed.
Right. Except for our flaws don't involve stonings or canings.
Actually, mine does if you keep this up.
Or that kind of stuff. Look,
some are
I've
more
seen
flawed
it.
Than others.
I've seen enough out of that region. I've seen it. What's Darfur? We got no problem with that? Everything's
what
cool?
What is Darfur?
Well, what is for?
That's why they named it that, because they didn't know what it was for.
I'm
I'm just saying the Muslims, you guys better get yourself a publicist and soon.
This is not helping.
Effing disaster.
The publicist and, for the Muslims is not like
Yeah,
this.
And all the folks that do all the, hey, we're not this, and you need to start piping up. You know, you need to condemn this stuff. You don't need to sit around, and you shouldn't be on the defense all the time explaining how all your people aren't terrorists. You need to pipe up and say what these people are doing is wrong, and what's going on in Darfur is wrong.
And then cut their hands off.
And we need to start judging. We got to start judging. Instead of George Clooney begging for money, he needs us to judge. You see, I don't think you get anything done if you don't judge. Has it worked? How much money have we poured into that region in the last 50 years? Better than it was 25 years ago?
Not noticeably.
Not noticeably.
Not if you ask Cindy and her little teddy bear.
That's right. Little Mohammed. I'd like to adopt little Mohammed. You know what I'm going to do?
Bear?
I'm going to adopt him. And I'm going to give him to Ellen. And then she'll be killed by angry Muslims. It'll be awesome.
Wow. You think she'll keep the name Muhammad or out of respect, she'll call it Iggy?
No, she'll give it Iggy back. Mohammed. And then she'll cry. So we took a little Muhammad from me. He's such a good bear.
I'm just saying, people, let's start judging. You judge and you get stuff done. And here's why. Here's why you need to judge. Because you need to go, hey, those people aren't doing something that's right, and thus we need to do something about it. You see, when you don't judge, then there's no action.
Yeah.
You see, you don't go, well, that person's doing something wrong. I mean, if your little kid is smacking another little kid and you don't judge,
right,
then there's no punishment. There's no pulling him off. There's no timeout. You can't judge. Maybe it's the fault of the person who's getting hit. Maybe his head is in the way of little Timmy's fist. It's his fault. No, wait. It's not his fault. It's nobody's fault. It's never anyone's fault. You can't judge. So what? We just let it go on and more people die. So you being the world's greatest person and not judging is causing people to die. I'll bet the people that are being burned in their huts and rounded up and killed and the women who are being raped over in Darfur wish we did a little judging over here. I bet they're screaming at us, hey, judge. How about they take you fly a helicopter over Sudan and you'll probably find some burnt out village that says USA, please judge. Start the judging. We made it out of logs. We made a big sign like we were trapped here and it said judge, start judging.
Judging, not that bad. Now, I like it on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. And Adam, I don't even know if you remember, but this actually is one of the things you've said that stuck with me the most. When we had the dinner where you took our leftovers.
That's one of the things that stuck with me the most.
You said, see, oftentimes when people make me feel uncomfortable, I just blame myself for not having better social skills. But what you said was, no, some people are bad. They're bad people. They're just flat out bad. And you shouldn't be able to look them in the eyes. And you shouldn't feel comfortable around them because they're bad.
Right.
Not you.
Right. They're bad.
That has changed my life.
They're bad people. And when you get a whole bunch of them together, it makes a bad culture. And then they start breeding. And now you have a bad region.
You
That's what we have
that?
Over there.
Well, we were just discussing
I
about
individuals. I got sweatpants with zippers. That's what I got.
No, I remember it very clearly.
Yeah.
I said, you have to start judging. Some people are bad. Are you going to finish that asparagus?
And remember it looks pretty good.
Very, very clearly. All right. So now what we have is another case of another person going over there trying to help. And instead, they're fearing for their lives because the kiddies named the teddy bear Mohammed. Look, all I'm saying is any money we spend on that region has to be on birth control.
Yeah,
pure and simple.
I agree.
Pure and simple. I'm just tired of the reproduction going on, thus the AIDS, thus the Darfur, thus the Sudan.
What
thus,
if they say no? Then what?
Well, we just cut the money off. I'm also, here's my other horrible thought. I'm kind of into Darwinism. I believe if people are supposed to burn out and kill themselves and kill everyone in the region and die of disease and do all that and they can't plant a crop and they can't stop, well, then we getting involved with it and stopping it is interrupting the flow. You know, you have that whole thing. Dig this. Dig this horrible thought.
Oh, I'm all ready to dig it.
Well, they have the thing where they go, anytime they make a movie about time travel, they go, if you go back in time, you can't disturb anything because you'll offset everything else. You'll upset the flow of nature. The course
right.
of civilization will be turned if you go so much as, you know, step on an ant.
Yeah,
if you go back in the future. Aren't we kind of doing that? Don't we do a lot of that? They're
basically stoning themselves in out of existence right. over there, and we keep dumping rice and plumpy nut off so they can keep breeding.
So there's more people to stone.
We're altering the course, not by going back, but we're altering the course by going, we're altering the future by affecting what's going on right now.
It's scary. I guess there's a fine line between philanthropy and being warm-hearted and kind and generous and altering some natural course.
Yeah, speaking of philanthropy, if those guys would pick up a little fellatio, maybe if the Ace Man gave a few seminars over there
on how to receive
good people of Darfur while I'm there. Idea. Hey, guys from Chad, I got a retarded cousin named after you. Come on down.
Guy's name Chad.
I
got
to talk to you guys, too.
So you would just spread the use of oral.
A little more oral, a little less caning. Mm. I think it'd be a better reach.
It's not going to happen. It's not the way it works.
All I'm saying is people, I think it's time to start judging. And, we'll give you some money. We'll give you some food. But first, the judging.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of the reproduction. That's me. If I give anybody aid, and I don't care where you're from, and I don't care what color your skin is or what your religion is, you want some money, you can be white as a ghost and a Christian as Shirley Phelps, and if you want $10 of my money, five of it's going to Norplant. I don't want to pay for you to have more kids. Same way I feel around the world. All right, let's take
ourselves.
I'm much
more civilized. I say just kill them.
Let's carpet bombing, not a bad plan either. Let's take ourselves a break. Danny has some news. I don't know if you guys heard or saw the picture. I did not, but I certainly heard about it.
Unfortunately, he did.
Danny was photographed in the nude.
while making a certain motion that made my manhood look less than manly.
Right.
He was standing. Seen by millions on Perez Hilton.
Seen by millions on Perez Hilton. Now, let me say this.
Perez Hilton wants to see it on Perez Hilton. That's what the problem is.
What we don't know, and what most people don't really take into account, is I can find a guy with the greatest physique in the world and make him look kind of bad if I shoot him at a bad angle and he doesn't get to do a few push-ups in advance and the light's not right. And I can make a guy with a medium-sized Pepe look like he has a small Pepe, and I can make a guy with a small Pepe look like no Pepe. Or we can go the other way around.
Right.
Give me a little mineral oil and a couple of moments to perform a little, what I like to call Darfur justice. And we can get the arrow going in the other direction. And do something that rhymes with direction. Danny was unfortunately photographed on a bad day, and he wants to make up for it. So he has put the call out, and Penthouse has come back.
Remember I said I wanted to be in Playgirl, but I knew that was really, it's just a cover. It's for men. It's a men's magazine. Men to look at other men,
right. Mm-hmm.
Which I don't care about either way. I just want to make the position, if you will, that I am not hung like a field mouse.
Right.
But I don't want to do it specifically so that a new rumor starts, oh, he's got a normal size Pepe, but he likes boys.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't figure out, because there are no men's magazines where men appear naked. And I was wrong. I got a call yesterday from Penthouse Magazine, did an interview with them, and they said at the end, we heard on the radio on the Adam Carolla show that you would like to pose naked in a magazine. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. If you get me all 12 of the Penthouse pets, they said, we will.
Ooh. Baker's dozen of bevies, a bevy of beauties.
But now I'm being told by certain forces of evil and darkness that it might be a bad career move.
Well, let's discuss those forces
later. You know radio, my dear.
Yes, he
Take
does.
A break. Barely. We'll talk to Penthouse about Danny's dingling next. And, he was so affected that he dropped his bong in slow motion.
Wow.
And that's how you know. Now, you know, I've said when you flick the cigarette butt in slow motion, you could flick it into a wheelbarrow just filled with beach sand and it would blow up. It'd take the whole block out. When you drop something in slow motion,
you know, it's a big deal.
When you're watching a movie and the mom is standing in the kitchen and drops the casserole dish in slow motion, that means the kid was abducted. That's the worst thing you can see as a mom.
Yeah.
Actually, the worst thing you can see is the ball go in slow motion into the street.
Yeah.
That's it.
I must be a terrible father. I had a monster at the window.
No, the ball in slow motion.
Ball in slow motion means the kid's dead. Dropping the casserole dish in slow motion means the kid was abducted. But here's the worst one. Tire swing in slow motion.
The swing in the playground.
The swing. He went missing 10 years ago.
And he's back, but in a different form now. That's creepy. All right. Speaking of creepy, we're talking about Danny's Pepe.
Which is not creepy. It was photographed creepy. It's cute.
Can we see a picture of it? Or where it would have been on you if it was there.
I was just asking Angie if we can post it on AdamCarolla.com.
No.
I think we can post it, but we're going to cover the Pepe. You get the idea.
Where are you going to get a dot small enough to cover that picture?
We're going to use one of the pixels from a comic book.
We had it, and
hey, you two pixels, come here. We got to cover Danny Schwantz.
We were told to take it down by our boss Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised he could think I could take it up a picture like that.
Yeah, we don't want to offend his delicate sensibilities. As you pass the Lycus van on the way in with the 15 naked chicks on the side of the Miller riding a Miller Lite
but
bottle.
That's classy.
That's classy. Yeah, bikinis that don't fit and horrible boob jobs are classy.
But see, I thought it was a Matisse.
That's what I'm talking about. I really would love to appear in Penthouse magazine. Mostly, I want to appear in a magazine meant for men to look at naked women,
mm-hmm.
not for men to look at naked men.
Right.
The only one I could think of was Playgirl, and that's for men.
And what you want, is a sort of you want a rebuttal to your editorial.
No, I don't want to get a rebuttal. That's the whole point.
But the point is you were shown in a certain light. And it's time to undo that.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Chauncey.
Hey,
Chauncey. How are you, buddy?
Danny. How's it going?
What is your title, Chauncey?
Well, I'm the editor at Stepping Out magazine, but I freelance for Penthouse quite a bit.
All right, so you don't do anything.
No, Stepping Out is a pretty big magazine.
But
actually.
Chauncey.
Yeah.
You can get Danny into the pages of Penthouse in the.
Oh, it's done.
It's done.
A done deal. Yeah, we got the photographer ready to go. We're going to set it up for this week.
Danny's going to need a few more reps on the pump before we get the photo shoot going.
I'm calling about, because you've been in this business a long time, and evil forces of darkness are telling me that this is a bad career move. Can you tell me why you would think this would be a bad career move? I'll be with naked chicks, right?
Yeah. Why? You know what, Danny? If they called me and they wanted me to pose with a couple of Penthouse pets naked, my clothes would be off in 3 seconds.
Yeah, and by the way, this isn't you in a Dutch boy outfit with your pants around your ankles, putting your finger in your mouth, going, oops, me,
right.
In Playgirl.
These are going to be muscle shots.
This is Penthouse.
By the way, they can't be over like 5'4".
And you got naked chicks all around you. This is good. This is a coup. And as far as your career goes, you're not running for Senate.
Exactly.
Right, but here's what I was told. My new VH1 show that will start the same month this issue comes out does have kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've also got this new cartoon, the Danny Bonaducci Life Coach, but it's pretty dirty, so I think we're cool there.
Yeah, you're Danny Bonaducci. You know what I'm saying? You're not
Pope. See, I hate that that's a description. It's Danny Bonaducci, you know what I'm saying?
Are these dark forces from VH1?
VH1 was upset about the Perez Hilton picture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they could have been upset because it was at the erotic exotic ball and that I was in a kind of a creepy place in the first place. This will be, you know, just in my own imagination, hot naked chicks laying on the hood of a Ferrari as I stand there with my arms between them.
And by the way, Danny, are you going to feel vindicated? I haven't seen this picture on Perez Hilton. I've heard about it. So you're disappointed with that picture, I assume.
It's a great show. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes, it's not that I'm disappointed in the picture itself. The picture is the picture. Pictures don't lie. It's just the position I was in.
Was it a cold room?
No. There was gravity involved.
He was jumping upward?
I was jumping upward, and things that would normally hang down
were heading up.
Were heading up and covering most of my manhood.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I'm about the size of a turtle head.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And obviously, Chauncey, I don't know if you've been on any of these shoots before, but there would be a certain amount of chubbing up going on before the cameras come out.
Well, that's up to Danny. It's not going to be a porn shot. It's not going to be Danny having sex with the girls. It's going to be... You know,
it'll be tasteful. He'll be greased up. He'll be on a hobby horse. There'll be 12 naked chicks around.
It's going to be done with a great photographer in a controlled environment. It's going to be done as part of editorial. It's not going to be a pawn shop.
By the way, how was that interview yesterday?
Danny, you're my favorite interview. Nobody's better than you. You're the most honest guy in showbiz.
Okay, because I don't really remember it. I was half asleep.
Chauncey, what insights did you garner from your conversation with Danny?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to give away before the article comes out, but well, and I don't want to get Danny in any trouble. I'll just say he was very honest, that he has had sex with celebrities, and that there was some discussion about that.
Oh, my God. What a horrible day. Imagine you're the celebrity that Danny had sex with, and you hit him on cough syrup Monday, and he's talking to Chauncey, and Chauncey's got that dat machine rolling, and Danny, who's...
You talked to him yesterday when you were high as a
Danny,
kite.
Normally an open book. Now he's an open book with a fan blowing.
The reason I asked...
Two of the names were shocking. Two of the names were absolutely shocking.
Well, I didn't say I necessarily had sex with those
alluded,
two women.
But the Hillary Clinton reference.
I said they were in a band that consisted of these four women.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they don't seem to like girls too much anymore, or guys too much anymore.
And one of them seems to prefer women.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Chauncey.
Yeah.
I give it my seal of approval. I give it the big Ace Man's thumbs up. I would love to have
thumbs
this.
Up. If it just even looked like a thumb up.
I got to be honest. I think it's going to be the hottest selling issue in Penthouse history.
All right, and you're saying the shoot could take place in the next couple of weeks?
Next couple of days.
Next couple of days. Well, good thing Danny's
good.
always ready
speed
and shape.
Along.
All right, Chauncey, make it happen, Danny.
I'm in.
It's up to you.
As long as if they don't give me a big the VH1, and even VH1 doesn't pay the kind of money they pay me here. This is my job, this radio show.
Right.
If Jack Silver or Bob Moore were to come in here and say, you cannot do this, then I wouldn't do it. But I can't see why the heads of a station that hire Likas and did hire Stern would have a problem with me posing with hot naked chicks.
I don't see why they would.
I can tell you that this industry is weird. Like I'll give you an example that always pops in my head. There's a sport called hockey. It's pretty much guys on ice beating the crap out of each other. And no sport is more uptight about their players being interviewed. You couldn't ask them one off-color question or make a joke without them getting very uptight about it.
Right.
It's almost like they're a religious organization, except their religion is smacking around a frozen bagel and then beating a bunch of Canucks up.
Right.
That's what they do for a living. Yet nobody's more anal and uptight about their players and what they talk about and their image. Image of a effing hockey player. So there's a lot of that kind of retarded compensation that goes on in this business. And for some reason, people that make their living, you know, in the octagon at the UFC are worried about what the guys say outside of the UFC.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's hypocrisy. I don't understand it. And if Danny wants to show his ding-a-ling in a better light, I say so be it. Oh, Holly's a photographer for Playgirl. There's all kinds of calls lighting up. Here's the problem. We're running woefully late.
We'll be back.
We will do this. T?
Yep.
Tease the news, baby girl.
An eerie voicemail from Kanye West's mom that she left the day before her surgery.
We'll take a break. We'll hear that next.
Thanks, Chauncey.
In today's episode, Whoopi sits down with a cast member from Full House.
Do you think that your ability to be around all kinds of different people really helped you to move forward with a good, strong, steady life? I mean, do you think if you hadn't had a great family and had a different kind of cast that it might have tweaked you a little bit?
Stay tuned for more How Bad Is Whoopi? Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I mean, Full House, it was like the UN over there with Coolier.
The diversity.
And the Olsen twins, cultural diversity of the Olsen twins.
God.
And a Canadian guy.
It's the Rainbow Coalition over there.
They're talking to the middle daughter. She was talking to the middle blonde daughter.
Isn't she the one that got anorexia?
Wait a second. I think one girl on there had brown hair. Right?
Stamos
had brown hair. Right. That's right. Greek.
Yeah.
Of Greek descent.
Yeah.
There you go. If you hadn't grown up in that melting pot known as Full House.
Full House. It's a Full House.
It was a
three
Bennington
whites
ad.
And two slightly less whites.
Yeah, good times.
No, they were all black.
Set in San Francisco, not a single gay or colored among them.
No, set in San Francisco, no black, no Asian, and no gay. You grew up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You never saw any blacks,
house.
Asians, or gays over
there,
did you?
No, not until I moved out of San Francisco did I see my first
and
gay.
And when you moved out, there were no more Jews left in San Francisco
That's
anymore.
True.
You're the last one.
That's why they threw you a party. All right, T.
Yep.
Time to party with the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Sad news in the world of sports this morning. 24-year-old Pro Bowl safety Sean Taylor died after he was shot in his home by an apparent intruder, leaving the Washington Redskins in mourning for a teammate who seemed to have reordered his life since becoming a father.
Mm-hmm.
He was with his little girl at the time of the intrusion, and 8 days before that fatal shooting, he had another intrusion. A window was open. Someone came in through it. They went through the drawers and the safe in the home, and they left a knife on the bed, according to police.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, something sounds fishy, but I don't want to rush to judgment because I'll feel bad if it turns out it was just some guy who was high on crack who broke into his house and
forgot
shot
his knife.
Yeah.
He had a few issues off the field prior to this, including a 2004 drunk driving arrest.
Let me say this quickly, everyone with the DUIs, as if that means anything, you know, and they go, oh, this doctor, we did a little digging and it turned out that 8 years ago he had a DUI. Three beers will get you over the legal limit. And I hate to say it, but just about anyone but me who leaves Kimmel's house on a Sunday technically could get a DUI. Why not me? I stagger home.
Right. Smart move.
I have, I push my empty stroller. You know what I had? You want to hear about.
You stroll over there with your beer?
Well, here's the way I roll.
Literally.
I have a double stroller for the twins, although the girl, she don't go to Jimmy's. She hangs out with Mommy, spending Daddy's money. Daddy takes Sonny, and he brings him over to Jimmy's because he wants Uncle Sal to teach him what a VIG is. So I bring Sonny.
You have an extra empty seat.
I have an extra seat, which becomes a cooler.
It does. What a shocker.
I put I had a 12-pack in the empty seat, and a pumpkin pie resting on top of the 12-pack as I walk down the street. And it's like, it looks like Carol has taken the boy camping. I can hear the neighbors talking already. He's got pumpkin pie so him and his son can exist in a 12-pack to his head.
What if you had to choose one side? Sophie's choice.
I mean, like
your
a
pie?
Car was coming around the corner real fast.
Yeah.
Bye, Sonny.
Pie and beer.
Grab the pie and beer and shoulder roll right into the hedge. Yo, God be with you. Y'all say hi to Grandpa as I do the shoulder roll into the hedge with the beer. So I push the stroller over to Jimmy's. I then unload the beer, the Sonny, who weighs as much as a keg, and the pie. Someone asked me why I was out of breath, and I said, well, I just walked up 70 stairs packing my son, who's keg-shaped, pumpkin pie and a 12-pack of beer.
Keg.
I'm exhausted. Then what happens is my wife shows up a few hours later with my daughter and collects Sonny and goes home, in which case I get loaded and then I get drunk. As I'm drunk, I walk home using the stroller to hold me up.
That's awesome.
And again, the neighbors are peeking out of the kitchen curtain going, Corolla sold the kid. He drank the sixer and he sold the kid. The funniest Kimmel booze story I had is once when Molly escaped. I call it escape because she's not supposed to leave, and she leaves the compound. Now, you see me, I wear sweatpants all the time, and I oftentimes wear running shoes or jogging shoes with my sweatpants. And I was over at Kimmel's getting drunk when I found out Molly bid a hasty retreat, and she took off, and everyone was like, where's Molly? And next thing you know, I'm running down the street looking for Molly. Well, as I jog down the street, some guy drives by and goes, hey, man show. And I wave at him. And as I wave at him, I realize I'm holding my beer. And this guy thought, wow, that guy, you want to talk about walking the walk and talking the talk. That guy, I saw the guy from the man show jogging on Sunday with a beer. He had a Miller Lite in his hand when he was jogging. Yeah, good times. So, anyway, the point is here's why I'm not judging about the DUIs. Everyone I know has driven, technically,
to the point where they would qualify themselves for a DUI. I'm not condoning it. I'm just telling the truth. That's the way most people I know have gone to a Christmas party, had a few glasses of wine, and driven home. If they had gotten pulled over, then they would have gotten a DUI. If later on, if they would have got sued for malpractice or whatever it is they got sued for or shot or whatever, I don't think we should dust this off and wave it in front of everybody. No. But go ahead, T.
He also had some charges that had to do with firearms. He, at one point, faced 3 felony counts of aggravated assault with a firearm and 2 battery misdemeanors after a confrontation over an all-terrain vehicle. Police said gunshots had been fired into the vehicle. He'd been ejected from a playoff game for spitting on an opponent and pleaded no contest last year to 2 misdemeanor charges in connection with the 2005 incident, and was in the final days of an 18-month probationary period. So he did have the 1 DUI, but it seemed like there were quite a few other charges against him.
We'll see. Still tragic.
Yes, more to be revealed. Now, here's a story about survival. On September 11th of this year, Samson Parker of Camden, South Carolina, got his hand caught in his corn harvester while it was running.
Definitely not a Jew.
He says hair caught?
His arm.
Oh.
Caught in his hair harvester.
His arm was caught in the corn harvester while it was running. To prevent his arm from being pulled in any further, he...
By the way.
Yeah.
Remember when I used to do gay porn in the 80s?
Who could forget?
Corn harvester was my... I mean, not my official name.
It's what they called you?
Yeah.
You had a specialty then?
I did. It was a different time. I'm not proud of it, you know? It was a different time.
This man jammed an iron bar into the machine's engine.
Yep.
Then struggled for an hour and a half to free his arm.
That was me.
Iron bar. That was my point.
Yeah.
Eventually, the metal grinding against the iron bar started to cause sparks to fly out.
Well, we had.
And the cornfield was set on fire.
Did he do one of those amyl poppers?
They chose not to disclose it.
Different incident then.
Realizing that he would burn to death in the cornfield unless he escaped, proceeded to cut off his arm with a pocket knife.
This is why I never carry a pocket knife.
Here he is describing the incident.
Oh, no.
Really, the only pain that I felt was when I actually, this is going to be pretty scary, I guess, but once I put the knife in my arm and felt the nerves, that when I was cutting the arm, the nerves, that was the pain. I mean, I could feel the nerves as I was cutting my arm off.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
What about the bone?
Here's what happened. I'm glad you asked.
He didn't go with the bone.
I'm glad you asked. Now he's got a problem.
No.
He's got the bone.
No.
Now my teeth.
That's my exact opposite problem.
My groin and my teeth hurt. You don't have a scrotum sac, baby. You don't know what this does to us.
He used the force of his own weight to break off the bone by falling to the ground.
The force of my own scrotum has now hit the floor. Do you guys feel it?
It might have sucked up into my body.
Yes.
This kind of stuff doesn't gross me out. I'm fine.
Because you don't have a scrotum. This is why you guys can give birth and not be yucked out by
it. Yeah, I'm fine.
No scrotum.
Well, he fell, thus breaking his bone off.
Oh, God.
Weight of his own body, he got up.
Oh.
He got up, and a tire exploded on the corn picker.
Come on!
The force of the explosion threw him back about 5 feet and free of the flames. And then he tried to hitchhike.
How the hell did you hitchhike?
Yeah, there were several people went around me at first, and then I decided, you know, I got to pull on out in the middle of the road. So I'm going to have to get somebody to stop to help me. So I pulled in the middle of the road, and people still went around in front of me in the grass to get around me. But thank goodness Doug was there, and he was the first guy that came and stopped, which was awesome.
Yeah.
A good Samaritan helped him, so that's a happy ending.
Yeah,
the problem
is we've all seen too many horror movies with the weirdo farmer guys and their arms lopped off hitchhiking on fire. That might not slow down either. We need to take ourselves a break.
Yes, we'll get to Kanye's mom's voicemail and also the surprising TV shows that the presidential candidates are watching.
Did he have a sign that said trauma unit or bust?
I'm pretty sure.
I miss the or bust comedy. What happened to the or bust? Remember there'd be a sign? You tell them sign up, San Francisco, or bust.
Where's bust?
I don't know what happened to bust. Maybe buses ruined the bust. Maybe people start taking buses instead of hitchhiking and riding the bust. Riding the bus or riding the... Okay. My head's going to explode.
Take another hit on my cough syrup.
You tease the news? I know. I'm getting lightheaded.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do the rest of it when we get back. Or bust.
All right. Hey, hey, hey. Yep. This is Vince Neil from Motley Crue. Yeah, you're rocking on the Adam Carolla Show. Crank it up.
Hey, T-Bone.
Yep.
What's going on with the rest of the news, baby girl?
Everyone who is sick because they're retarded or weak.
Hmm, that's a news flash. Mics are hot, T. Come on, watch it now.
The day before...
We're on the air.
The day before Kanye West's mother, Dr. Donda West, had her plastic surgery, she tried to call her hairdresser. Hmm,
hold on. I wonder how she died. Why did she die, Teresa?
Everyone who is sick because they're retarded or weak.
Oh, I see. That's what happened.
What do I do in this situation? Do I say that that's out of context, or I just pretend it's not happening?
You don't want to protest too much.
pretend it's not happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Donda left a voicemail for her hairdresser, one Charlay Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And now... Thomas is sharing that voicemail with the world.
All right.
Here is the voicemail that Donda West left for her hairdresser just a day before her fatal plastic surgery.
How are you? It's Miss West. How's everything going? I hope you get this message soon because, if possible, I need something from you, like, immediately. Well, I hope everything's going great for you and the girls. I just decided at the last minute that it would be nice if my hair were cornrowed. I am going to go have my procedures done tomorrow, and I'm getting every single thing from my neck to my knees. So anyway, call me. I'll tell you about that. Call me back. Call me so we can talk about it.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Well, she wishes she had picked up the phone.
Why?
She didn't get the message. Maybe she would have tried to talk her out of it.
I doubt that.
I think she put it in the cornrows.
Hairdresser is saying that Kanye West did not want his mother to get the surgery, in part because he knew nothing about the doctor, Dr. Jan Adams.
I got my arm stuck in some cornrows. One time I had to break it off with my own body weight.
Oh, my. Don't make my balls hurt.
Well,
got that, Brian?
I was interested in the part where she called herself Mrs. West.
Yeah, she referred to herself as Mrs. West.
Which, I don't know, isn't that a little snooty when you're talking to the help?
Somebody who does your hair and probably they see each other a lot, they should be on a first name basis.
I wonder if she does that because she wants to remind people that Kanye West is her son.
Well, she's one step below calling herself Dr. West, which she could. Because she is a doctor.
Interesting.
Not a medical doctor.
That's right. Interesting.
She doesn't,
we don't deduct points.
On the other hand, I don't think it makes her snooty. I think it makes her very proud mama. This was somebody who was incredibly proud of their kid, and I didn't know how proud she was until she died, and I saw tons of footage of her on stage at book signings, at concerts, everywhere, standing next to her son. I wonder if she referred to herself as Mrs. West, not Dr. West, just so people were reminded of the Kanye connection. But the doctor thing was about her, and that was neither here nor there. What a woman.
Yeah, proud of her kid.
Yeah.
And
My ex used to use my last name anywhere she could, and I officially asked for it back, and she wouldn't give it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So Gretchen's going to keep the Bonaducci name?
Why would you want that? What possible service could that do for her? But yeah, no, she's keeping it and will not give it back under any circumstances.
All right.
Well, maybe it's better than her maiden name.
She doesn't want to go back to douchebag? That's her business.
It's close enough. It's like one letter off from Hitler.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Gretchen Hilmer.
Yeah, it's Hitler with two H's. All right.
Okay. Well, you know, these have been rough days, dark days for Lady Oprah. You know, she had this guy, Dr. Jan Adams, on her show, and now she's under fire for not vetting him properly. If she had done a background check, she would have probably found some distasteful things and perhaps would not have had him as a guest. Well, now representatives from the show are saying that he appeared on a show. He was booked on the subject of medical television, not in his capacity as a surgeon. And since we did not promote him as a cosmetic surgeon, there was no reason to do a background check on him.
Well, aren't we over this? You know this part where we keep wanting athletes to be role models and they don't really want to do it? They want to get laid and smoke weed and make it rain in strip clubs. Same with TV.
What's going on here? What's Oprah supposed to do? Look, I'm not a huge Oprah fan. I don't want to defend her, but I'll be fair about it. First off, she doesn't book anyone on the show. A booker books someone on the show. She gives it thumbs up or thumbs down. But if producer Angie said, this guy's a plastic surgeon, he wants to come up, I wouldn't go. I want to review his board. I want to see, when is he board certified? When was he reviewed? I want to, I don't need to see paperwork.
I would say, what's the biggest set of jugs he ever put in?
Right. And that would be the
end
of that.
And if she said double F's, I'd say book him, because I want to talk about that.
I think the show's defended itself pretty well. Now, also, Winfrey flew to South Africa on Sunday to meet with the family of a student who alleged who was the victim of alleged misconduct at her Leadership Academy girls' school.
I get nervous when I hear misconduct.
Yeah.
I was thinking of transvestite. I knew.
Yeah.
Misconduct.
The allegations are something to be nervous about.
1989, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, allegations and inappropriate misconduct and things like that. I just hear, actually, you just say it. You just say the words.
Misconduct.
Rape.
Rape. Always rape.
Rape.
Misconduct.
Rape.
Wow.
Right.
There's no other way.
Right. Stop talking.
Misconduct.
Murder, arson, and rape.
You and I are so close, but mine is, if anybody needs to talk to me about anything, means you found it.
Yeah, something was found.
We need to talk. You found it.
Yeah,
we need to talk means you're busted.
Yeah. Because usually when they
say... To me, it means you're fired.
Here's the thing. When someone is abusing someone physically, when someone strikes someone or something, they just call it that. They'll call it everything all the time. But then when you get that sort of cloudy misconduct thing, which makes me nervous. All right.
It's never good.
What else, T-Bone?
Well, TV Guide has asked the 2008 presidential candidates the really important question. What TV shows do you watch? And
Grey's Anatomy tops the list.
Ah, one of them does watch Grey's. One of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's very obvious which of those.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess. Which of the leading presidential candidates would you say watches Grey's as one of their favorites?
Hillary.
Barack used to watch, and then they toss a black guy off, and he said, screw this.
He wasn't happy about Isaiah being tossed off.
Shot the TV like Elvis.
There are still many people of color on Grey's.
Yeah.
I know you
watch. But they're all gray.
Yeah, but they're gray. Yeah, they're old.
Hillary also says she likes American Idol. Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And all those HDTV makeover shows.
I like her, too, but I don't want to vote for anybody that watches those shows. That makes sure to be watching Dancing with the Stars.
It's the number one show in America.
So what? I mean, and I guess that means she'll represent the people well in that case. Still, the idea of the leader of the last remaining superpower making sure she's home in time to watch a football player dance around the stage makes me a little bit nervous. Shouldn't she have something else to do?
First of all, it's a race car driver, and the finals are tonight.
Like I said.
I'm surprised at how sort of unimaginative these people always are, you know? They're going to give you, if you ask them what their favorite band is, it's like they'll just give you the one, Garth Brooks. That would have been 10 years ago. You know, today be whoever the biggest country seller is today. You know, can't you guys, is there any B-sides? Yeah, any deep cuts in your collection? Can you pull out a name? You know what I mean? Could you do us something cool?
Aerosmith.
Brock
does better.
A little bit better. He loves MASH. It's a great show. Hasn't been on in a while, but he loves...
Since he was born.
He loves HBO's The Wire.
All right.
His favorite TV character is SpongeBob because that's the show he watches with his daughters.
Still little something.
Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
Guy that saw the UFO.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoys late night TV. He says he likes The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The Late Show with David Letterman, Daily Show, Colbert Report, and Saturday Night Live.
Every show but Kimmel.
Yep.
He left off Kimmel.
By the way, I hear the Colbert, his new book is hysterical, by the way.
I'm not a reader, but it's doing quite well.
Yeah, I've heard it's
brilliant. I own it. It's very funny.
I own it.
I bought it, and I'm reading it as we speak.
I heard it's brilliant.
Side note, you know what book I read over the break? Jay Moore's book, Gasping for Airtime.
Over the break, as in from we were talking to
Thanksgiving break. gasping for airtime about his 2 years on SNL, because when he was in here, I thought he was really funny. Mm-hmm. Great book.
You read it how fast?
In the Thanksgiving break.
The book is like 100 pages.
It's an easy read. It's not a complicated book.
I didn't
book.
See none of those stripes. I like my friendly picture stripes.
Right.
When I see a book, I look at the side of it. And if I don't see some gray stripes in the middle of it, I ain't opening it.
Right.
Because
then it's
a
just
great book.
Filled. Here's what I don't like about books.
Yeah.
You have to read. And not only do you have to read, you have to read about other people's ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
put your ideas up, mixing with commingling with my ideas and
right.
polluting my idea gene pool.
Well, what
I got
about
Aryan
they
ideas up here, baby. They're purebreds.
Well, I don't need
Jay Moore's ideas screwing with my ideas. One of them's going to rate my ideas, and we're going to have a little mixed idea, baby.
Where
are they going to lead? I don't need Colbert's ideas running around with my ideas. Makes me sick.
How about John Edwards? Do you want to know what he likes to watch on TV?
Yes.
Boston Legal. And then he had a hilarious joke. His guilty pleasure is watching Fred Thompson on Law and Order.
Get
it?
Stuff.
Fred Thompson likes to watch Sports Center.
Good stuff.
McCain likes to watch Prison Break. Because as a fellow prisoner, he says, I always dreamed and plotted how I would break out of the Hanoi Hilton.
Really?
Yes.
He wants to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why doesn't he just stare at a cot and have his wife beat him?
Yeah.
Either that or he wants to remind us that he was a prisoner.
Right. Good.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Good point.
Because I think my favorite movie is called Daddy Beats Me. I watch it over and over and over.
Anyone mention my favorite show, Hookers on the Brink?
I do love that show.
I've never actually seen the show, but I've seen the taping, if you know what I mean.
I love that show because of the haggling that goes on inside of the rust-covered Cherokee. It's like, hey, baby. How much for, you know, oral? $10? Oh, come on. You got to do better than that. Like, what? What do you want her to pay you? Really? How ugly do you have to be? Seriously, these guys are trying to get oral sex in their SUV, and when the chick tosses out $18, they are insulted.
I saw a guy get oral
for a
promise that he would give her 2 cigarettes, and then he reneged on the promise after the oral. No cigarettes.
It was mediocre oral. I'm going to give you some secondhand smoke and a piece of dentine that tastes like nicotine.
And something that looks mildly like a cigar.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That was the news. Don't make my balls hurt.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Prisoner David is on the phone. We'll talk to him. He's an actual prisoner. He's up next, and he has a woman with him.
What?
Really?
That's what I said, and that's all I know. We'll talk to Prisoner David next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know how much I complain about everything?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if I was unjustly incarcerated, if I was in prison for murder and I never murdered anyone? They would eventually have to just throw me out. It's like the guards couldn't take it anymore. It would be one. It'd be just a not look. If I get a parking ticket because the meter was broken and I couldn't put my quarter in it, and I come out and I find a parking ticket, I will complain for the next 8 to 12 years just on the parking. Could you imagine being incarcerated? Imagine being locked up, your freedom taken away for life. And you didn't actually do the thing they said you did.
Well, remember the time your Ferrari was delivered late?
Oh, my God.
We'll never talk about it.
Prisoner David.
Adam, what's happening?
I know you think you have problems, but I bought a Dino 308 on eBay, and the guy said he was bringing it in the transport truck.
It was hot, huh?
He said it was coming on Friday, and guess what? He came Sunday in the evening.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Things are tough all over, my brother.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is not having any women. That's probably the biggest obstacle in prison for doing time.
Right.
But there actually are women in prison right now.
There are?
Yes, there actually are women. They run around here, and sometimes they get run off, but there's only a few of them that actually stick around sometimes.
I smell a bit.
Me too.
I smell that.
This guy can produce.
I'll tell you. So, Prisoner David, you have one of the elusive women that is let loose in your prison from time to time. What's her name?
Her name is Lady J. She's got butt like J-Lo and breasts like Pamela Anderson. I'm talking real, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Commodity. Lady Jade?
Lady J is her name.
J, all right.
And the reason why nobody runs her off is because she's got a left hook like Mike Tyson, man. She'll put anybody out.
Well, you want to put her on the phone?
Yes, she has her respect. Here she is, Lady J.
Of course she does.
Hello?
Lady J?
Yes. Who is this I'm speaking with?
Yes, this is Danny Bonaducci.
Hey! You know, I grew up loving you.
Sorry, Lady J.
That's all right. But I grew up loving you, Danny. And every time you used to get on and sing with the Partridge Family, I used to croon. Oh, my God. Am I really speaking? Is this really Danny Bonaducci?
Well, I speak for Danny. Hey, you know the Partridge Family?
You don't know how true that is.
You don't know the Partridge Family theme song? Do you remember that one?
With the little yellow bus with the
Hello world, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of time is what we'll be doing. We'll make society safer.
Okay, you still can do that, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We still got the chops.
So now, Lady J, what are you in for and how long are you in for?
Well, I'm a lifer. I know that's all right, honey, but I do kegels, and the boys love me.
Kegels.
Kegels. You know what kegels is,
I
girl.
Pick up a hydrant
with no hands.
Squeeze and release. Squeeze and release.
And the boys love you in there?
They love me. They love me because I do kegels. See, my nickname is Snapper.
Now,
excuse me.
Lady is right in your name, and you use the
F.
Sometimes I'm not a true woman, girl. You know what I'm saying?
I cursed you.
No, we had beans. These beans were runny. The oatmeal was soggy. Some hard tortillas that if you throw them against the wall, they will crack.
Yeah.
And some milk. The milk is 2%, and it gives me the run.
Lady J, how many boyfriends do you have in prison?
Honestly? Well, I'm married 3 times, and I have 4 boyfriends.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Now, what is the difference between a husband in jail and a boyfriend in jail?
Okay, see, a husband is a provider. He gives me what I need, you know, as far as cosmetics, toothpaste, you know, perm, grease, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a boyfriend, he gives me what I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Hey, Lady J.
All right. Hey, Lady J, we have to take ourselves a break.
I love her.
I love
talking to you guys.
We love talking to you, Lady J.
Okay.
And tell David to, keep his powder dry and his underpants on and do them chin-ups on them sprinkler bars. All right, we need to take a break. We'll check in with Prisoner David and Lady J next week. We'll be right back. Well, that is about it for our little old show. I want to thank Rocco DiSpirito.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Like that guy.
Rocco came in here talking about his eats and his book, Rocco's Real Life Recipes. Out now, doing a book signing this Thursday at Book Soup, 7:30 in the p.m. Go see our buddy Rocco. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Oh, he's got a normal-sized Pepe, but he likes boys.